requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board of Borough Hall as required by law. You all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have a roll call, please?
Leva?
Here.
Hager?
Here.
Boyle?
Here.
Donald?
Here.
Housel?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Okay, the purpose of our meeting tonight is to let department heads present their budget requests to the council and to justify any of their proposals, and to let council ask any questions that they may have. There is no audience portion tonight or any opportunity for the public to speak. It is just for the council to deal with the various department heads. First off, we have our code enforcement officer.
There we go.
Yeah, hi, Rudy.
Thank you for coming. Anything that you'd like to say to us before we present anything to us, Mr. Bashir?
No, I think it's as low as I can possibly get it. Do you have any questions for me on it?
Is what was in our mailbox all new numbers, or?
What was in the mailbox is the worksheets for the presenters tonight.
Are they just
same as they introduced? No, this is the first time.
Correct.
I just reprinted them.
The first thing I saw was the vehicle maintenance for $200.
Yeah.
Now, you share that vehicle with the fire enforcement?
Fire prevention, yes.
Now, do they have some in their budget for the vehicle maintenance also?
Negative. Since fire prevention paid for the vehicle themselves.
Okay.
The deal was years back that code enforcement, since code enforcement zoning uses it more, that they would pick up and pay for the vehicle maintenance.
Okay. And how old is the vehicle?
It's 4 years old now.
4 years old. I guess that's just for oil changes, windshield wipers, that kind of thing.
You got it. $200, and hopefully we don't have any major expenses over that.
And obviously at 4 years old, it's no longer in warranty.
That's correct.
Anybody have any other questions for a code enforcement officer?
Mr. Mayor?
Certainly.
Rudy, most of your costs are offset by any fees you receive, correct?
Zoning and code enforcement?
Yes.
They all go into the Borough General Treasury, to my knowledge, all the fees. That would be the landlord-tenant registrations, certificate of occupancies, and any and all summonses that are issued and penalties assessed. Nothing goes in. There is no, this account is not a revenue generating account whatsoever.
So it's the fire account that's basically?
Fire prevention is, yes, is self-sufficient.
Okay, thank you.
Just real quick, hey Rich, on page 2, towards the bottom, it says control total.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give me that definition of control total,
sure,
please?
Every departmental budget has, in essence, two accounts, salary and wage, and another expense. Both of those are defined as a control total, which means they're the main account in each department, meaning control is local code enforcement. Underneath that, the sub-accounts are everything that's listed here, vehicle maintenance, other contractual, material supplies. Control is the total departmental requested budget.
Okay. So what is it?
I'm sorry.
What's the increase due to from 09 to 2010?
I mean, that's why Rudy's here. We can. This is his requested budget.
Oh, okay. Okay, Rudy. On that same line item?
Yeah.
What is that reference then?
Okay. In 09, we spent hardly anything on the zoning code enforcement. We went with bare minimum on the zoning applications and the warning violations. Bare minimum. I've got a box meet 75 zoning applications left and maybe 50 zoning violations, local code violations. I'm going to need new additional violations and zoning applications, and that's where the biggest expense is, in $550 for the printing of those. Okay. Although I have about 75, we give out probably 20 to 25% of the applications we give out, we don't give back, because they get the application and they decide they're not going to do the shed, the fence,
right,
pool, whatever. So we have to have them available.
Okay.
And we just got 200 done in December of last year. And that's just going to cover us for less than a year.
All right. Thank you very much.
I have a question. Are you taking the decrease in salary?
No, not to my knowledge. Why? I don't look at the salaries because I have nothing to do with the salaries. That's controversial.
Is there a reason why that's different?
Well, he gets paid as the fire inspector.
Oh,
and
yes.
Code enforcement and zoning.
Yeah.
His salary gets pulled from multiple spots.
I've got
I'm sorry.
I've got three different job functions. Fire inspections I do, I get paid out of fire prevention. And then zoning and code enforcement comes out of a separate account. I work 35 hours doing zoning and code enforcement and 3 hours a week doing fire inspections.
So wouldn't it show under the fire inspector that's where the other portion of the salary is?
It would be under fire prevention part-time salary.
Yes.
All of the salaries in all of the departmental budget line items are directly related to the contractual increase. That's where the numbers come from.
Okay. So,
so this salary that we're seeing just has to do with the local code.
That's correct. That's his code / zoning portion.
Well, there's a rumor, Rudy. Is it true?
What's that?
That you're retiring.
Yes.
So is that going to be budgeted for somebody who starts it that replaces him?
I don't want to get into too many specifics because it's a personnel issue and we're in a public portion.
Okay.
I'm happy to speak with you privately on that. But
okay,
the answer is going to be budgeted accordingly.
Forget the individual. Can we talk about the salary?
It's going to be replaced equivalent with two part-timers. There's going to be a savings with two part-timers.
Off of this right here?
Yes.
Do we know what that savings is going to be?
No. We just requested the list be populated by the Civil Service Commission.
We don't know what
that's going to be until we get the list and hire someone.
Okay, so this is possible, a possible savings here.
Mm-hmm.
But with two part-timers, the biggest savings is going to be benefits.
You didn't get them.
Correct.
Well, I mean, theoretically, if it was one full-timer replacement, they would be eligible, so I would have to budget for that.
Right.
There's no way to know anyone who comes in whether they need or do not need benefits. So
I understand.
I have to budget for the benefits.
But there is a possible savings there.
Correct.
And the salary line.
Correct.
Mr. Mayor, bottom of page one. Went from zero and 200 and materials and supplies and books and publications up to 1,500 in each. Bottom of page one, the last two lines.
Page one.
Fire and safety code enforcement.
Local code enforcement. Look, you picked up the wrong page.
Okay, I got it. Never mind.
Local code enforcement. That'll be a question for the fire official.
I just had a question on the other equipment that you were requesting. Is it for a printer and photo?
Yeah, my camera died. The camera that I've been getting, they last about 2 years, maybe a little bit more. Also, I need photo equipment for the camera. Okay. I did have a problem with the printer. I got Rich Phelan found a unused printer in the building, and I'm using that. but I'd like to keep that $200 there in case that printer decides to go out, because it is used, and I've been using used equipment for the last 5 years.
And the camera you use is a digital camera, correct?
Yeah, which is acceptable now in court, but it's dead.
Okay, do we have anything else for our code enforcement officer? Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next up, we have Fire Department, Kurt Klausfelder. I don't see here at the moment. Do we know where Mr. Klausfelder is, gentlemen?
Yeah, I
think
he's here.
Okay. Okay, how about if we'll go to Mr. Monas then, since he's here, and we'll keep Mr. Klausfelder off for a little bit.
One thing real quick right off the bat, since now we're on fire and safety code?
Yes, we are.
On the introduced budget for other expenses, it says 6,810, but if you add it up off the worksheet, it's only 5,810.
What was that for again? The
other expenses for the fire and safety code?
Control total, 6,810.
But if you add up the worksheet, I'm looking at the original one, I guess.
The one, 3, 4, 5, 6.
4.
65, 67. I have 6810. On the sheet I gave you?
No.
I'm looking at the original one that I received.
6810.
Well, was the original one handwritten?
Yes.
That's why. It's possible there was, sorry, but it's possible it was misadded. But the one in front of you is the actual numbers that are in the system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking, maybe, because the numbers
here. Mr. Monas, is there anything that you'd like to tell us? Anything that you're expecting, anticipating?
No.
Anything you'd like to explain at all?
I'm sure you guys see a significant jump in the budget from last year to this year. Last year we got by with, I don't know how I got by, but just along with my professional dues that I have to pay for and membership associations to keep everything running. So that's why there's a significant jump in my budget compared to last year's budget.
I guess, are there any books or publications that you really don't need this year?
I have absolutely nothing except for the state code. I have access to other publications through other resources, but physically in my office, I do not have them. When I usually go through these other code books, I'm doing it on my personal time in other areas.
So the books total $1,500?
That's just the start.
And these publications are not available on the web for you to peruse, I assume?
Nope. They are, but that's even more than hardcover.
It's a subscription type of service?
Correct. Okay. Because every year as they change codes and standards, I have to get updates. That's why part of professional dues is we have to stay up to date on all this stuff. So it's not just, I could go out to Barnes & Noble and buy the book. You have to buy the book, and you also have to be part of the association so you can get the code updates as they continue on.
I see.
Because I can't write somebody for a code violation that no longer exists.
That would be inconvenient, I'm sure.
Just a little bit.
And I see there's a significant increase in the education and training. Again, that is to keep the certifications necessary for the functions?
That is for that, and it's also for fire prevention material. The past couple of years, there have been no fire prevention material. When you go around to the schools, this material is very costly to purchase. I think last year, we didn't even buy it. It was somewhere around $1,700 for the material for the kids for Fire Prevention Week.
Okay. And what certifications do you hold, do you need to hold?
I have my fire official license. That is the certificate that I have to hold in order to do the job.
Okay.
There's part of the code reflects onto the NFPA standards. So I have to be a member of that in order to get the publications for the updates.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions?
No. Thank you for explaining that question I had earlier.
Uh-huh.
And the charge for fire hydrant charges?
That always gets charged to the fire official line item. It's not part of his budget, per se. It's put there because it's directly related.
That's
the Mid Jersey.
There's water there?
Yes.
Okay. That's what we pay for New Jersey American Water.
Yeah.
And do they give you, like, a contact or an estimate, or?
No, we reach out to them as part of the budget process, and we ask them if they anticipate any rate increases this year, which is why there's more.
There is more.
Yeah. It's going up. Electric's going up, water's going up, gas is going up.
Okay, well, if there's nothing else, thanks very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
Mr. Klausfelder, you're up.
I'm not used to sitting at one of these. It's going to be nice.
Okay, Mr. Klausfelder, would you like to tell us anything in particular about your budget request here?
Does everyone have a copy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, I believe it's pretty self-explanatory.
Okay. Are there any questions from council, Mr. Klausfelder?
No, I was just wondering if you would be the contact, Mr. Klausfelder, for the grant. I'm the chair of the grant committee, and I want to go for the FEMA grant, maybe to help for the other budget items that you're requesting in this original packet you gave us. Who is the contact in the fire department that I can reach out there to?
Well, we've had several grants that we've applied for and a couple that we've received. And the contacts have been Steve Allpaul for the first two and Keith Gonzalez for the last one. But I'm not objectionable if you'd like to reach out to me.
Okay.
Make me the contact person.
Okay, for the 2010 one, so they're not available yet. Okay. Thank you.
I noticed many of your line items stay pretty much consistent with what they have been in the past, vehicle maintenance, maintenance of other equipment, contracted services. You're pretty confident that those numbers will stay static?
Well, even though I'm not asking for any increases, in the past 5 years or thereabouts, not only have we not requested any increases, we upon ourselves took about a 10% decrease my first year as chief. And even though we anticipate some of the expenses to increase, we've been doing our level best not to share that additional expense with the taxpayer and generate the additional funds required through fundraising activities.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. How did your fire, your dinner go the other night, by the way?
Very well. Thank you.
I know I've seen your department out with the buckets a couple of times.
Yeah, we try to do that 3 to 4 times a year.
Okay, any other comments from council on this? Okay, we've seen three budgets so far. Is it anything anybody wants to cut, raise, or discuss further on any of those three budgets while the individuals are still here?
I guess it might be more housekeeping later after that. It's not really what you asked.
Okay.
Can I ask it anyway?
Sure, go ahead.
On this big thing here, page sheet 15,
mm-hmm.
under public safety, we have fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards down at the bottom, it's fire and safety code enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
We have fire hydrant service under public safety fire on this sheet, but not in the worksheet.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, right. All right, so it's on the wrong, numbers are the same. It's supposed to be under fire and safety on the state dot. You know what it is? We categorize it one way, and this is the state document, and this is how they want it formed. Ours is a little contrary to what the state's document is, but I can let you know.
Okay.
And what are the other contracted services? What does that entail, Chief?
primarily testing services, hoses, ladders, pumps, truck.
Oh, the trucks get tested too?
Drift test.
Oh. That should not be an issue for the next couple of years, should it?
Should not be.
Chief, I have a question for you. Did we, are we okay with the doors that we just did for your new truck and all that? Are those things in good shape? Do they have to be replaced or maintained? I don't see anything in here for that.
The overhead doors?
Yeah.
Actually, that is another meeting that I have tonight.
Okay.
We've had several estimates, and we're meeting with a gentleman this evening that we believe is going to be the contractor that we're going to choose. And to answer your question, sir, no, the doors do need to be replaced for a number of different reasons. One being the fact that they don't always open and or close, which we all can see that to be a problem for us. And another thing is the gaps around these doors are enormous. And in the wintertime, because the truck base has to remain heated, keep the water from freezing in the apparatus, the amount of heat being lost is huge. So anyhow, the fire department in past years had had that incorporated as part of our budget request. And unfortunately, in past years, it was something that money didn't exist for. So anyhow, all that being said, the fire department has been in the process of raising funds through fundraising and the like. And we're now prepared to act upon this and do it on our own without the assistance of the town financially.
And that's all the overhead doors that will be replaced?
That is correct. All overhead doors, track hardware, openers, and the photocell sensors to prevent any accidental closing.
Okay, anything else? Anything that anybody wants to cut, raise, or discuss any further at all? Hearing none. Thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you.
Thanks for that.
Actually, if I could, no problem.
Please.
If I could just ask one small question. The old truck, and I know we're going to auction her off. As she's been down there for quite a while now, it's become disruptive as the other engine, we're unable to plug it into the shorelines. It's just in a bed. It's not equipped to shorelines. So that means that the air to the brakes isn't up to snuff. It's not, you know, ready to rip, ready to go. She's not plugged in for electric. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but a few times she's been found dead and we had a jumper. So anyhow, and since the old truck's out of service, and again, she's going to be auctioned off, would it be okay if we could park her over with the other vehicles that are to be auctioned?
I don't have any objections. Do you see any reason why not?
Your property, your... Yeah, your sewer plant, it's your piece of equipment.
I just want to make sure there's no reason that you couldn't allow that.
As long as it doesn't interfere with the operation of the sewer plant,
it's your call. Okay. Anybody have any objections to that whatsoever?
No, sir.
Hearing none, move it at your convenience, sir.
Thank you very much.
Give me a call and I'll make sure there's make room for you over there.
Thanks a lot. Okay.
We're running ahead of schedule. Here and let's see, John Bird is not here as of yet. Do we have any other discussion on anything we've had so far?
Like it's probably more or less for, I guess, from what Rich had said, for executive session on the code enforcement.
Okay.
You know, so it's something I have.
Chris, let's take care of that next Tuesday then, I guess?
Yeah.
Do we have an executive session for next Tuesday?
I guess we should have one for that. Again, personnel issues, though.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily. In this instance, it wouldn't be council's privy, though.
Just an update?
I mean, I can update now.
We can update now?
Yeah, it's in the hands of the Civil Service Commission. They're generating a list of eligible applicants. That's where it stands. We petitioned the state. We told them there's vacancies. Applications went out. I'm assuming applications were received, and then they have to rank them. That might take a few months.
So we could be without a code enforcement?
No, we're going to have to hire someone on an interim basis. I'm going to see if the state can put a rush on the list to get to that, but we're going to have to hire someone provisionally.
Are they both mandated to be, are both of them mandated to be
in the civil service?
All times?
Yes.
Can we go over some of the other stuff that we might have talked about with Lee, or are we waiting basically for the next person?
Unless there's someone else. Is there anyone else in the other board?
I don't see anybody.
For something that's coming up you're talking about, or something we had?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know me, I've got my list of things, you know, outside of the department, so I could start talking.
Yeah, if you'd like to ask your questions now.
Speaking of the Civil Service Commission, back when we first had our first budget workshop in September for the 2010 budget, you mentioned that you wrote to them regarding employee furlough, so I was wondering what the response was.
Not to forum for that conversation right now, Janine. That is truly a personnel executive.
Okay.
That shouldn't be brought up here.
All right, then the next question is insurance questions on sheet 14.
What sheet?
14.
Thank you.
Two things. Well, one was a recommendation, because I don't know, even know who you used for the carrier, but I remember when the township was here regarding the police, they mentioned, you know, that was one of the savings, their health benefits are less money, so I was wondering if we use the same carrier.
I spoke with two different carriers last year to get updated quotes to see if it's cheaper for us to self-insure or stay with the state health benefits plan. Both carriers said that we don't have enough people here that actually receive health benefits to be considered a viable applicant. We only have about 16 people that receive benefits.
Okay.
And when Merrill Bassani and I were on WRNJ, we were talking about that a little bit, after our interviews, and he said he would have his administrator reach out to Mr. Phelan with the names of their insurance agent broker. I forget exactly what the term was. And see if they could do something for us. I assume they've not heard from him.
Same thing. I spoke with them preliminarily. We just don't have enough people.
Okay. My other question is the general liability. You know, why is it even higher than 2009 when the police contract includes liability? Like, why is it?
Well, every municipality has to have liability insurance.
Right.
Liability is based on risk.
Your rates are based on the number of people.
No. Based on your actual risk, regardless of the number of employees. You can have two employees, but have an event or a service that you provide that puts you at a very high level of risk. So it's not based on employees, it's based on the actual overall risk. We have a risk manager that works for our joint insurance fund. They review every one of the members' risk from year to year, and sometimes it goes up and sometimes it goes down. This year it went up.
Okay.
And that liability? The insurance includes misrepresentation type of suits and everything else, correct?
Everything from someone getting hurt on borrowed property to a plow knocking the mailbox down and everything in between.
Great. Anything else, Mrs. Squiba?
No, I've got a lot, so. all right, I'll just keep going back to the last meeting. Even like non-department related things. The legal costs, I'm wondering if we can reduce them by the $6,000 that we're saving in the retainer costs. We only spent $69,000 actually. I mean, I understand there's a reserve in case any other bills come in. If you go to a
$13,000.
I mean, we'd still be leaving $19,000 for litigation costs. I mean, we don't have any new scope of services. We're in April now. So I'm wondering, since his retainer was lowered, you know, why can't we lower that by the $6,000?
You're talking about going from the 68.9 to the 75,000.
I was saying go from 75 down to 69,000.
Council can adjust the budget however they choose. I mean, obviously, you know, you can raise or lower however you see fit. We do know for a fact that we are in litigation with several things right now. Some of them are spending from last year, coming back.
But that would say, that would be the reserve that you'd be using that from.
Yes and no. Remember, their contract expired last year. You reappoint a professional like an attorney on a yearly basis. Use 2000 funds for 2010 funds for 2010 litigation, even if it's continued from the prior year, because it's a one-year appointment. It's not a paid staff member.
And then what would happen to that 12,000 in the last column?
12,000 in the last column, as all of the reserves will be available 2 years after. That'll be a reserve available in 2011. Any reserve, anything in that right column.
Yeah, no, I remember that from last time, but I thought if it was encumbered and you got a 2009 bill.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, right. If there's still a bill for 09 that just hasn't trickled in for whatever reason, you charge it that. If there's all bills are for services in 2010, you have to charge them the 2010 budget. Correct. I can't use 09 money to offset our 2010 budget.
If we can spend it really seems like. We had a savings based on the change in
the retainer. If we reduce it to $6,000, does that hurt us potentially down the road if we run short of funds or something?
If you run short of funds for litigation, you have to transfer in November. It's going to hurt us between now and November if something should happen. Unfortunately, no matter how large or small the municipality is, everyone thinks a municipality has deep pockets. So litigation is too common.
Where would we transfer from if we were to have to transfer?
You'd have to, in November is when you're legally allowed to transfer. The list will be presented to council. We need to transfer from this account to this account.
Isn't that what got us in trouble in the first place?
Well, no, that's a little bit different. You're thinking of interfunds. This is, after November 1st of every year, every municipality is allowed to transfer from within its own existing departmental budgets.
Right.
You know, like if tax collector is short because all of a sudden they have to do another mailing, you can take it from, you know, finance, that kind of, that's what you're referring to. We did it last year a couple times, too. That doesn't increase the budget in any way. It just reallocates the funds that were previously approved.
That was not, funds that were otherwise not used.
That's correct. It's not new money, it's just reallocating the old.
Janine, if you look at the expended in 2009 and add that paid or charged and the reserved, you are at $80,995.
We actually dropped it a little from last year by $5,000.
So we've already dropped, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You can't
already
dropped
it by almost $6,000.
If you spend that up to $12,000.
Yeah. But even if you don't, that's available in 2011. And we have none from 2008.
Well, the 2008 balance, the 2008 reserves, rather, is part of our now overall fund balance. I'd have to go back and check to see specifically what was left from legal from 08.
But that's all included in that $75,000.
Yes. The state has reviewed our introduced budget, and as they do every year, they come back with some preliminary changes they want you to make. Change the amount of this, change the way you categorize this, change the category in which you classify this. When all said and done, they're going to make us change maybe a half a dozen or so items. One of the changes that they're going to make us do is the interlocal service agreement that we have with the police department is outside the budget cap, which means that money doesn't go towards our levy cap. They are telling us that whatever the proportionate amount of pension contributions would have been if we still maintained our police department, we now have to put that full amount inside the budget cap. Our argument to them was, well, what's the point of a shared service agreement if you're penalizing us for that? Their exact words are, if you don't have the employees on staff and you are going out in the manner in which we are, You can only put the pension contributions in the cap if you actually have those employees on staff. The police pension contribution this year is $262,000. So that 262 is now inside the cap, which increases the amount that we have to reduce on the levy side. We're now at $778,000 over. We're still fighting that fight with them to see what they say, but the Division of Department of Community Affairs is telling us we have to keep it out, although we will keep fighting that one.
You're going to reach out to other municipalities that have a shared service with the police to make sure they're doing the same?
The CFO is reaching out to another municipality that she's aware that does that. I mean, to me, the whole point of if you're going to do this is you reap the benefit. But they're saying you can only put out everything except pension can go outside the cap.
You also had something about our reserve for uncollected.
Yes. As a result, they're shifting numbers around. They're making us, they recalculated our reserve for uncollected taxes as a result of the tax rate and the cap adjustments. And now our reserve for uncollected taxes is $917,000.
They got it from 690?
No, no, no. No.
From
807 to 917.
Wow, this keeps getting better and better.
We're fighting that one as well. That's why this is an introduced budget. It's been changed 50 times, and we're fighting that within Trenton right now. That is... Now...
And they gave us the original number.
I'm sorry?
Did they give us the original
number?
They gave
us the original
number. Yeah, they gave us the original number.
And then they just went and upped it up to $110,000.
Yes. They said our calculations are now being computed like this. As a result, your new number is this. This is what happens when 85% of what you do is governed by them. We are fighting that again with them as well. For what it's worth, if there is a positive to that, it's not affecting the cap problem. The way it's shifting, because reserve fund collected is inside is outside the cap anyway, so it won't affect our cap. It just affects how much you have to raise.
It's another 3 cents almost.
2.5.
So what are we looking at now? I mean, it was 29.
It was 29.82, so if you say 30, now it's still hovering around 30 to 32, which is what we were at last year.
So without actually doing nothing but introducing the budget, we've already gone up. That's just wonderful.
That's why we're fighting it with the state. Our plan is to get everything in order and, for lack of another phrase, make a road trip down to Trenton in the next week or two to try and convince them otherwise. It doesn't matter what we say, they have to approve the budget.
Should I make calls to our legislators about this? Or
but I would...
their review?
No, I don't know, quite honestly, how much... I mean, would it hurt? Probably not. But, you know, we're going to continue to lobby down there, and, you know, Tom, the auditor and CFO will be here at the public hearing on the intro budget Tuesday. They can explain it a little in more detail for you. They're giving me the updated breakdown. This was not the phone call I was expecting this afternoon.
How did they change the formula? They changed the formula, or they
as
changed
a result
the
of
number
the
of... the percentage of taxes collected.
As a result of the changes they're making us do, that increases the reserve for uncollected taxes. April 9, 2010, they received the response from the state on the review of the AFS and the 2010 introduced budget. Most do not affect the numbers on the budget or the AFS. They had us do 5 revisions. They want us to review the balance sheet. In reference to the regional high school taxes, they want us to review the balance sheet on the reference to the deferred school taxes. That's just paperwork that they have to send down. They're making us pull out the school taxes and deferred school taxes from the cap, meaning it's going from outside to inside. They're making us, they revised the calculation of reserve for uncollected taxes.
To what?
To 917. They revised
$200,000 over last year.
Well, keep in mind, our rate did go down almost 1% from last year, too. Our rate now is...
We're talking 3 cents. We're talking a total of $200,000 over last year.
Yep.
It was 725?
Last year was 725. This year they were 917.
Yeah. And they are saying that the appropriation that we have for our recycling tonnage grant has to be inserted as well. And as a result of all these changes that Tom and Natasha have to make, their new calculation is 917.
Why would grant money need to be inserted?
You know,
I mean, I'm not expecting an answer. I just...
I can't answer that. I don't know.
What should you do for getting grants?
Same thing.
You get a
shared service agreement.
You get a
grant. We're being penalized because we entered into a shared service agreement.
The state is telling us, oh, shared service is the way to go, and you have to do that. Mm-hmm. And they're pushing us towards that.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they turn around and punish you when you do it.
Yep.
So you get a grant in order to defer taxes from the taxpayers, and then you get penalized anyway. So
indirectly, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Tom and Natasha are going to kind of come up with a bullet point, you know, highlights, if you will, from the changes from the intro budget for when everyone talks about it on Tuesday.
Now, is this for, would that apply for all grants or just specific?
No,
grants?
In this case, that was the only one they made us change.
Well, that was probably one of the only grants that we had gotten.
No, we had other ones in there listed.
Okay.
You know, there was eight or ten in there.
My concern from the grants committee would be like, if we go after grants and all of a sudden we're going to get penalized.
Money isn't always free.
Well, that is true.
Just because it's a grant doesn't make it free.
That's true.
I've asked Tom and Natasha to update the levy calc sheet for Tuesday, and Tom is going to be prepared to speak on that as well. I spoke with him this afternoon.
Okay, anything else on that? Hearing none, Mr. Bird, you're up.
Right, hey, Bill.
Good, how are you?
Good, good.
Thank you for coming.
I brought Donnie with me. So
okay.
No, I just tagged along.
Feel free to grab a chair.
Donnie,
yeah,
chair.
Sit next to him.
Hello.
Thanks, sir.
You get me to here. Don.
Somebody just punched me.
I don't
want to
waste
it.
Hey,
John.
Roy.
We'll give
you the proceedings.
Mr. Halford.
Who's
in the
streets?
Thank you, sir.
Hey, man.
Thank you.
Christine, you want one?
I got one.
You got it? No, you ain't got this one.
There it is.
You gave me two. All right. All right, basically, I'm going to stay the same, you know, what I asked for, so.
Same as last year, you're saying?
Yep. The only thing is, I wrote this up for the me and Donnie did wheel tests, you know, for Prospect Street. That's real rough. Banana Street. You see the list there. Oakwood. Robin, Flower, you know, could go on and on, but we was going to get the paver and do strips if we can to take care of some of the mess, you know, that's really tore up.
Well, as we both know on Prospect Street, we have that fiber or that...
Yeah, I know. That's got to come out.
Underneath the matting. Yeah, is that coming out? Is that part of what you're able
to
do?
Well, we're cutting it all out as we go. And tack coat, and we're going to take the paver and skin coat.
Okay.
Now, the real rough
stuff. So in the areas that you're not doing, you still have that mat underneath them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just to take care of all the big potholes.
The only way to get rid of all that would have to
get rid of
up the whole street.
Yeah. Yeah, to make sure that's not what we were talking about.
Yeah, no, that's,
you know,
I think you'd see a lot more than $4,800.
Yeah, good price. Go ahead.
Yeah, do everything. I'll write the check myself.
And it can go on and on, you know what I mean? Like, Flower Avenue needs all the shoulders done. Like we was doing, and then they just stopped that, so.
John, if I can interject for one second.
Yep.
This is kind of an aggressive street project for, you know, five guys. So how do you plan on doing that this spring coupled with everything else that you have to do with maintenance of the lawns and the park and everything like that? How do you?
I think we can handle it.
Do you have a plan, or is it just kind of...
Our plan is, you know, just send two trucks at a time and, you know, keep going. One guy on the roller, one guy on the rig, and then one guy on the paver. I mean, we did it before. We were doing Flower Avenue, all the shoulders, all the way up, and then it just stopped.
You see, all these projected costs are pickup. They're not for delivery or tandems.
Yeah, we'll pick them up.
None of that was considered. And if we could run maybe two, three trucks, These prices are current for this year. They do change month to month because, you know, escalation. If oil prices go up, the asphalt may go up.
That's just the question I was thinking.
Just this year.
I mean, it doesn't drastically, but it could change a few dollars here or there.
So you could go up to 65 a ton? It could.
We've had 67, we've had 60. I mean, you know, these are just averages.
Okay, the highest price you paid per ton for it that you can think of off the top of your head?
Probably close to 70.
77?
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Now, the list of the streets that you have here, is this like in order of best to worst or most needed to least needed?
These are the most needed.
They all are?
Yeah.
Okay, but it, I mean, if...
Like, I mean, we don't have to do them all this year. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we can just continue this project.
Well, they almost would have to be done this year, right? Because that's what we're budgeting for.
Yeah, but if the price per ton of the asphalt goes way up.
Way up, yeah.
But I mean, if everything stays as is today.
As is.
We can do it all in this year.
We can hit these.
And this is in the budget number that you gave us. What you just handed us today has been already included in this.
I'm not sure if it is or not. I know Rich wanted me to make a list up for...
No, okay. First well,
I'm seeing this. No, it ain't, right, Rich?
This is the first time I'm seeing these numbers here.
So these would be above and beyond what you put in your proposal.
Well, like I said, either we can do it this year or next year. It's going to, you know, go up $70, $80 a ton.
But next year it could be worse because the roads are worse, so you might need more tons.
Yeah. Some prices could go up. Right now we're patching them, but there's just so much.
When you're using cold patch primarily?
No, we're running hot.
Running hot.
And cold patch we use when the weather is not, you know, very well.
The quick fix in the
winter kind of thing. It's good when it's, you know, 40, 50 degrees. But.
So it's almost an additional $40,000, almost additional to the budget that you we submitted.
If you don't want to build them, we can patch them. That's up to you.
Okay, but on page two here, Rich, halfway down there, it says chemical gas and materials and supplies. We're like 30,000. I come up with 32,000 as far as these new items for the road. There were 31,000 over what we expended last year. Oh, I'm sorry, never mind. It's 77 last year. We budgeted 46.
Our biggest expense in the past has been our salt.
Yeah.
That's generally been our Achilles heel, so to speak.
John, what do you think about, like, I mean, some municipalities I hear are turning towards a brine type of, and I know there's more startup costs with that, but is it something that's even remotely cost-effective to think about down the road?
I don't know if it is or not, to tell you the truth. I always had good luck with just salt and grit. You know, I used to work for the state, we put that stuff down. Good for a couple hours.
What's that?
That brine. Good for a couple hours, it just holds it off, you know.
Grit is a lot cheaper than what salt is, but it depends on your weather. If you get down way below freezing, you're going to need the grit, you know, because the salt will stop. It's just effectiveness. You know, when you get up at 30, 40 degrees, salt's wonderful. When you get down to 15, 20 degrees, grit is more.
Yeah, you gotta have.
So you generally go through a lot more salt.
Right.
And it's just a climate up here.
Well, I mean, is there a way to take money from what we have here to offset those costs? Like, for example, for the road vehicle maintenance, you requested it last year and the same amount this year, $18,989, but you really only expended $6,000. So, you know, that's like $13,000 that could maybe pay for two streets there, or even like the maintenance of the equipment there.
Well, we didn't do
$38.60 you requested last year. It's the same exact amount this year, but you only spent $53. So.
We didn't do the full amount of mechanics that we should have. You know what I mean? We changed the oil, got things done that
yeah,
we could.
I was looking for money in here.
Right.
The thing that's killed us really is our salt.
Our salt.
That's you know, the winners.
Well, that's under a different line item, though. That would be the...
Yeah,
that,
right.
That's under the $75,000.
Right, that's another different line item.
And how is the equipment holding up?
It's okay.
Okay.
You know, we got some old equipment.
I know.
We've got 79 loader, 83 backhoe, you know, which is keeping it together. Today we blew a line in the loader, so it's this time shop with another blown line in it. So you never know.
So we're trying as long as we can.
Yeah. I just don't want to get into the situation we have with the sewer plant where it's being held together and spitting bubble gum, basically.
Yeah.
Obviously, if we're going to have the equipment, we need it to operate.
Right.
You know, without breaking down every couple of hours.
Well, each year we, you know, change the hoses, try to change the soda.
I know you guys are good at doing the routine maintenance,
yeah,
or preventative maintenance.
So we try to do it all in-house. So.
And the loader is what year?
I believe it's an 80.
79, 80.
And you put kingpins in that this past year, correct?
Yeah.
So that took care of the front end problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's 84.
84 is the backhoe, and now we're changing lines on that. You know, each year we do so many.
The loader's a little worse for the wear, but we'll make out with it. We'll keep it.
We'll keep it.
We're not asking for any new equipment or anything.
You had mentioned at one point last year, Mr. Bird, about you wanted to go back to doing tar and chip on some of the roads.
I think that's the way we're going to have to end up going once we get all the roads back to where we. Where we was.
Okay,
you know?
But you don't have any plans of doing that this
no.
year?
No.
Okay.
No, I want to get them up first, you know, get them leveled up again.
Okay. Well, I think you were mentioning some of the roads that were starting to deteriorate. You wanted to do that too before they got too bad.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple out there that could use tar and chip either this year or next year for sure. So, but I know they got the co-op for that, so they bring it in. All we got to do is cover the catch basins and all that, you know.
Okay.
Probably the way to go.
Mr. Mayor?
Sir?
Can I ask a question? John and Don, the patching of the potholes with even the hot patch, isn't that kind of a waste? If we overlaid it, wouldn't that do a better job and last for a longer period of time?
Cost effective. It depends on how much money you want to spend. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
I mean, the tack coat usually works good. If you fill the hole first, then tack coat, and then square, and then pull it, and then you're sealed, you know? So,
I mean, it's basically all money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You seal the edges of the patches, obviously,
yeah,
with tar?
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to go through the line items? Is that sort of open forum for us to do at this point, or is
sure.
there? Okay. I mean, I just had some questions around, you know, you have cleaning, maintenance of building, $600, and then you have janitorial supplies, $400. So that's $1,000 for... When you're going to be moving into a new building, God willing, soon, is $1,000 in these types of materials really needed? I mean, I don't even know what they comprise because it doesn't really specify. It just says cleaning and maintenance. I don't know what that necessarily.
Yeah, I don't know if some of that comes up to here, does it, Rick, or no?
These are all buildings
are
around.
Janitorial supplies is generally like our roll towels, toilet paper,
yeah.
Bowl cleaner. And anything that we use to on the building, you know, to clean it, you
mm-hmm.
know, Ajax, whatever. That's basically generally what it's been used for.
Can I comment on that also? Because that was one of the things I was going to mention later, that we have at least three departments with expenses for the cleaning and maintenance of buildings and janitorial supplies. We have $4,400 in janitorial supplies if you add it all up, just for three departments. And almost $20,000 for cleaning and maintenance of buildings. Like, can it just be like one person or department that does it for the couple of buildings that we have? Or
can you? Yes. I don't think it's going to change anything because you still need to buy the materials for the cleaning. I mean, when you actually look at the breakdown of what was spent from these line items, there's nothing frivolous in there. I mean, these are basic, bare bones cleaning materials, health and hygiene products, things of that nature. I mean, whether it's broken down between one account or 10 accounts, doesn't change the fact that, you know, there's very, very little, you know, waste.
Is there any wiggle room with this $1,000 that we can cut? I mean, really, that's what we're talking about here. I mean, I don't know. I'd like to discuss that, and I'd like to talk about the uniforms are almost $3,000 for the...
That's contractual.
It's contractual.
Let me ask about the janitorial supplies, which Gene mm-hmm. brings up. If we're spending that much, are we buying that locally or are we buying that through debt collection?
Some is through Decor, some is through local vendors, whichever gives the best price at the time.
Could we do a one-time order with Decor?
Absolutely, and that was one of the things that Councilman Cioni mentioned last week about centralized purchasing, for some of the items, and that would be one of them. That's one of the things we're looking into. If we have the room to store it, absolutely.
Yeah, that could be a one-time savings right there.
Like I said last week, the savings that you're used to get in bulk for a lot of day-to-day office supplies, cleaning supplies, aren't there anymore because they're so competitive, the market, that many vendors will give you low prices and free next-day delivery. So there's really very little, if any, reason to buy in bulk and store it these days because you're not reaping the savings. You're just taking up room.
That $1,000, John, is that between you and this building, your building and this building?
I think it's just mine that we use it for. The kids knock the windows out when we replace the windows. Now we just put cardboard up. It's cheaper.
For the people in the audience, it may sound nitpicky, but we're at that stage where we have to be nitpicky.
With the chemicals, gases, road material, and supplies, you have about a $29,000 increase in that line item.
Okay, that was
where I was going with it. Was that salt, or was that more for...
Yeah, that's pretty much salt, blacktop,
whole pack.
The actual spend last year was $77,000.
Right.
And now we're...
The worksheet Mr. Bird gave us, we have to incorporate into this?
Well, if council decides to move forward with the sheet that was just prepared tonight, or presented tonight, rather, the top part, if you will, those few items can be added into the worksheet. The list of streets, if council wants to go forward with that, has to be raised in the capital improvement fund.
Okay.
2010.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, not borrowing or bonding money for capital projects.
Right,
just
right.
Raising it for capital projects.
So to the mayor's question about the chemical gases and road supplies, the 75.6 that we see now, we have to put in, so we...
Yeah, this is the first I'm seeing this.
I understand
an increase,
that, but...
So, a request increase.
Is that how you see it, Mayor? Is that the question you were asking?
I'm sorry, ask that again, please.
The 75.6 that's in the chemical gases and road supplies in this, we have to add...
Yes, we would have to add those materials into it. What I was curious as to why it was had it gone so much. And it was the salt.
Somewhere else.
But I was asking more about what had happened for last year.
Do you have a question?
Sure.
On this, on these streets that need to be done,
38.
Of this group here, what about the streets that are like really the worst of this group? How many streets in that would you say there are?
I would say North Jackson would be one of the worst, and maybe McDonald.
Banana's
number one. So.
That's pretty
bad. That's concrete.
Banana's like horrible.
Yeah. The Banana Street, if you only do them all this year, do Banana Street this year, and then we'll work on the list next year.
Well, the problem is the next year list could be bigger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Part of the problem that we're in
right now,
that we've kept pushing these things off, even patching, and now we're at the point right now where, the streets are so bad that you could literally pick almost any street in the borough and there's reason to repair it.
Mm-hmm. So if we just put doing the three of them, that would take it to 16,000. Opposed to 40.
Yeah, you break it up, it's definitely cheaper, but again, long term, they all have to be done at some point. So
where do we get the 40,000?
Well, if you did them all.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it would come out to about 40,000.
Exactly.
So, Rich, I guess would because it's difficult to raise a budget once it's introduced. So if we were to say, let's do all 40,000, or even if we said we're going to split it into 3 years, the easiest way to do this would be to take that same proportion of money out of somewhere else in the capital budget.
Yes and no. What I would suggest is, if council is considering moving forward with this, I can see what balance is in the capital improvement fund right now.
Mm-hmm.
What that balance is will dictate the answer to your question. I mean, if there's $100,000 in capital improvement fund right now, because I know there is some projects that we have to do this year, make it easy, say there's 100 and we need to allocate 30 for another project. You can decide as a council, do you want to allocate the balance for this out of that? And the capital improvement fund rolls from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if the DPW department comes up with a plan, a program for the next year, a realistic plan, I mean, if they can get, I don't know if you can get all these done in 1 year with five guys, quite honestly.
Yeah. That's what Michael,
I'll be honest. No, I'm not downplaying your ability.
I don't know, but maybe we could just, like I said, this is something we can work on next year.
But, you know. Well, why don't we, before we, you know, we keep kicking this around, but until we know what that capital number is, we really won't know.
I might even have it in hand.
Is that shared paving equipment?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what we're going to
know. I thought it was
90. Right, I can do a second.
90.
It was 90 last year, but then we canceled capital last year. And this year, originally it was 90, but we dropped it to 75. But again, budget still introduced. I don't know if council wants to move forward with it. If I recall correctly, we have the balance. There was a small balance in there from unexpended from prior years, plus whatever is requested this year. This year, we're in the preliminary budget for 75 for capital improvement projects. The one that we do have to address this year, at least start moving forward on, is the issue of the Pleasant Valley Dam. If we don't get that resolved, DEP will start fining us this year. I'm working on that with Andrew, and the scope of services will be presented to council in the very near future for your consideration. But that's the only, one I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay, do we have anything else for Mr. Bird, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I do. I want to talk about the seasonal, seasonal employee. Right on the first page, right under full-time, the seasonal. Last year we spent 16, this year you're requesting 23. Is that specifically for the wintertime?
That's wintertime and up at the park, right? I believe.
That's correct. I'm sorry. That's for our winter seasonals who help when the snow comes down. And, of course, they got used quite a bit this year. And it's for the summer seasonal that gets assigned to the parks.
I'm sorry, the summer seasonal?
It gets assigned to the parks. The advantage of placing him in the Department of Public Works is when they need him on non-park-related issues, he can go out and assist them. If they assign him solely to recreation, he can't assist them when needed.
We don't have a breakdown of which is which. It's just
I'd have to run the breakdown. I mean, this year we got killed with the seasonals, with the winter. Winter is what makes or breaks us.
Yeah, that's for real.
This department, I should say.
We didn't receive today a worksheet for the buildings and grounds. Is that done also?
We talked about briefly, I know we talked about it last week. Buildings and grounds is just one part-time employee that just maintains as needed the buildings and grounds. There's nothing in there except a part-time salary of approximately $13,000, and then the materials needed. If buildings and grounds by default, if you will, falls either under administration or public works, depending on how you look at it in previous year's budgets. But there's really nothing to the buildings and grounds budget. There's literally just materials, inspection costs that we have to pay for each year.
Who filled out this worksheet then?
Which one are you holding?
The buildings and grounds.
John filled that one out.
So
I mean, if there's questions, we can ask John now. but it,
well,
it kind of...
Well, I guess I was just wondering what the other equipment and supplies is for $6,115, and it was zero last
We have an aging infrastructure in the municipal building as far as equipment, HVAC equipment. Last year, we replaced the main chiller outside. Our air handler...
Well, last year, it was $0, so that's why I was wondering.
That's what I'm saying. Last year, it was zero because nothing was done.
Nothing was done.
This year, we need to start maintaining the equipment because we can't afford to replace each air handler at $25,000 a piece. Mm-hmm. Last year, we had a couple instances where the heat didn't work, where you had to have a heating company come out and repair it. It was the circulator pumps that went bad.
And so we'll replace the HVAC?
No, we replaced the AC, the main AC chiller last year. Mm-hmm. It was a 2009 approved capital project. Or, excuse me, 2008? It was approved before I got here, so I don't know if it started in 8 or not.
I think it was approved in 8 and started.
It started, okay. And then this year, what we'd like to do is try and, you know, I hate to say the phrase Band-Aid, but get as far along as we can without having to replace them yet. I mean, there are 6 air handlers, they're $25,000 a piece. And they're all about, what, 30-plus years old. We have to have an annual boiler inspection, which is coming next week. OSHA comes in and does their inspection, and we need to bring things up to code.
So, John.
Yeah.
Recreation supply, general supply, $4,500. What does that entail? Fertilizer, those types of things?
I think they're gas, the paint for the pool, stuff like that.
So the paint
fertilizer.
For the pool doesn't come out of the bid? I mean, not the bid, the rec? It comes out of DPW?
I think it comes out of... I don't know if it comes
some
out of
things do and
yeah.
Some don't. I think, like...
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. That's where that recreational supply, general supply... Last year, the paint came out of that line item.
Yeah.
That's why there's $3,400 expended on it.
Right. So why is DPW paying for paint for the pool?
Last year, that's the way it was done.
But this is this year. They're asking for $4,500.
Correct.
So that would also include the paint.
Can you pull it? Absolutely. But I can pretty much guarantee we've already expended that amount in salt this year.
No, I'm not saying that.
Again, I think to dovetail what you're saying, is the rec director here? He is here. Oh. When he comes up to talk about his budget, he'll be able to answer that a little bit.
That also includes play and also I mean,
it's somewhat semantics because it's either going to come out of this budget or that budget.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I just, you know, I don't... You know, having the seasonal workers that work for DPW at the park makes sense to have it in the DPW budget, but the supplies and stuff like that that's specifically used for the park doesn't make sense.
Shifting that from DPW to recreation is easy. That's the easy part.
Okay, do we have anything else for Mr. Bird?
Yeah, do the park people, when they're done working there, did they come to work for you?
No, they mow the field over there. They mow this and
so they don't do any work for the road department?
No.
When needed. They're technically a DPW employee that is assigned to the park. And we do that intentionally because last year we didn't need him for anything. But in the event you actually need him for a non-rec issue, a DPW issue, as a DPW employee, seasonal, we can have them do DPW things. Last year we didn't need him for anything.
You hired him last year.
Between Gary and John, they decided on which person it was going to be.
Yeah,
it happens to be the same person this year.
Okay, anything else? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Parks and Recreation, Mr. Masoner. Sorry we made you wait.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, no. Thanks, guys.
anything you'd like to bring to our attention, Mr. Mason?
Just here to answer your questions. Provide some information about the different programs. There's been questions about so whether or not programs are funding themselves.
Gary, are we going with vending as well as concession this year?
It would be my recommendation, since we typically last year only opened the concession stands for anywhere between 4 to 5 hours a day. That left a void from essentially 8 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock at night. And what I would recommend is not going with the amount of vending machines that we had last year. Just have two machines, one for soda, for liquids, and one for different types of concessions.
Would you be okay with the same vendor, or you want to go out for a different vendor?
I think I'd like to go out for a bid this year.
Do we have time to do bid?
Well, you may count it.
Don't
be down. Is there a reason why you want to go out?
There were a lot of issues through the year last year. If you had been in the park and seen the people standing there shaking machines back and forth, and continuously asking for change. But it was supposed to be some type of facility made for change that was never provided. There was an awful lot of lost money that we had to reimburse people for, which was reimbursed for us by the company. There was an awful lot of maintenance on our part as far as those machines are concerned.
I have a question, Rich. Gary's presented something here, the salary and expenses for swim program salaries, I guess, is lifeguards.
Pardon?
Swim program salaries, I guess that's for lifeguards.
The swim program salaries are for lifeguards, for your front desk people.
I don't see that on the sheet that you gave us. On this one?
Correct. The sheet you're looking at is the current account.
Okay.
Right. Now, current account and trust, two different accounts.
Current account and trust.
Direct, they have direct trust accounts, and you have the current account. Trust?
Yeah, the current account is the money that is raised by taxes.
Okay, so
the other salary account, which is an account that is a continuously operating account, where money that is raised for fees is deposited in, and that money is used to offset the expenses of the individual sports.
Okay.
That is an account that has the capability of building funds.
Okay.
Okay, and is not dissolved at the end of the year.
Okay, so that doesn't have to be budgeted?
Trust? No.
How much money is in the trust account?
I think it's on Gary's page here. Second page.
Right.
$82,000.
$82,143.
But you need to remember, that's in total, and what we're doing is no longer taking revenue from one event to subsidize another.
Understand that. Now, my next question then would be that there was a transfer for $81,000 last year out of a rec line item. Where did that $81,000 go?
To pay us back.
Pay us back for what?
There was $81,000. You mean what was the $81,000 from last year?
No. Where did it go? It was taken out of their account.
I'd have to pull the transfer resolution from November. I don't recall off the top of my head what account it was placed into.
Did it go in here to the trust fund?
No. That was current fund money that was transferred. You can't transfer trust fund money.
Okay. Well, that brings me to another point. There is one on page 3 of this that you gave us right here. It was transferred for $74,678 in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you go to page 13, in 2009, there was another $81,008 transferred.
What was the second page you said?
13.
Where do you see that?
Bottom of the page, $81,008.
Departmental total?
Right.
No, that's the very bottom is the cumulative amount.
Okay.
It wasn't 81 plus the 70. It was 81 total.
Okay.
The very bottom is the year-to-date total for everything above it.
Okay, so there was, you're saying that there were two transfers.
No, there was one, $80,000 or $81,000.
There couldn't have been one if one was for 74 and the total was 81.
No, Dave, I said, again, the one on the bottom, that 81, includes the 74.
Okay,
so that bottom number is the grand total of all the transactions above it.
There was at least one for $74,000.
Right, and then on page 4, there's a transfer of $7,000.
Okay, and we don't know where they went.
I'd have to pull the transfer resolution from November. I don't recall off the top.
Okay, my next question then is, why did we budget so much money there last year if we transferred it?
Again, same answer as last year, is we were going to do some facility and capital improvements to
on
the
what?
Rec department. I'm sorry?
On what?
Gary, what were we going to do last year, grandstand improvements?
Was
one of them. There was anticipating repair to the concrete in the event that we weren't able to get the contractor to fix it.
Did we have proposals for the renovations to the grandstand?
No, there was no proposal. This was money that was designated by the prior manager.
Okay.
This
was money that was in last year's budget.
In last year's budget,
yes.
That was prior 81. To my time.
All right, there was $81,000 in there that was transferred out.
Correct.
So my question, I mean, $81,000 is 2.5 cents. I mean, did we over budget purposely to transfer it out?
No. We chose not to move forward mid-year when we realized we are having a huge problem financially to not move forward with these capital projects. All departments were put on a purchasing freeze mid-year.
So that came out of the capital side?
No. It came out of, you can use current funds for capital projects.
I understand that.
No point in borrowing money for something you paid for.
Okay, I would like to know where that money went to.
I could pull the resolution.
If you could, please.
I mean, the council approved the resolution in November. I just don't know what account off the top of my head it went to.
Can I get that before I leave tonight? I mean,
I have to find the resolution. I mean, I just have to look it up.
I have a couple of questions because I'm still trying to understand the trust directly.
That transfer was made in November?
It's in November or December because you can only do it after November 1st.
So,
I just don't remember.
So it's got to be within 4 meetings.
Yeah, I just have to look up the number and get a copy. It's probably on our website, actually.
I guess I don't understand why we have to budget in the general taxpayer money, $135,000. I still don't understand why we don't receive money back to offset that.
No, and I can explain that. The reason is this is the first year that, first full year, if you will, that trust is going to be used the way it's supposed to. For programs that are fee-based, if they don't make money, they're not going to move forward. Now, I can't expect Gary to run a program having little money in his trust accounts to move forward. Year one, current fund is going to have to subsidize rec trust operations until rec trust can build up enough balance in all of their accounts to be self-sufficient. Plain and simple, current fund is going to subsidize the trust fund until trust fund becomes solid, which is why even this year, Gary and I have had the conversation that if a program can't make, you know, it's not self-sufficient, it doesn't move forward, period.
Okay, so my other question, maybe as an example, that the total operating expense for the swim program is $112,000, and you only receive in revenue $66,000?
That is correct. Okay, now, all right, this is only for the swim program. What I gave you is only for the swim program. Okay, if you look at it, the fee-based revenue is...
Right, well, that would basically pay for the pool.
Well, no. Okay, that is the concession stand, the $5,000, daily fees of 13, memberships of 23, swim lessons of 13, and swim team of the 9. It gives you $65,000. That is money that was raised by fees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The salary expenses were $60,455 for the swim-related program.
But these are all last year's numbers we're talking
about. These are last year's numbers here.
Thank you.
Okay. The operating expenses that I've listed are a combination of last year's numbers and what I anticipate the operating expenses to be this year.
So it's stone flossing about.
And that's $51,581, which gives you total operating expenses of $112,000. After this includes all salaries. In the past, salaries came from the current budget. I've been told that I have to be able to show that we're going to cover the expenses of all programs in order to have them. That's why I presented this to you.
Right.
Okay. Also, there's a lot of operating expenses that have not typically been recreation funded. Okay?
Trust funded.
The electric has typically come out of the current budget before.
But aren't we still budgeting for it this year?
We're still budgeting for it, and it's still a cost associated with it.
Same with their insurance?
Yes. We still have to budget for that, yes. Hey, as long as we have a park, we have that insurance.
Insurance is $7,500, which was not fee-based funded last year.
But you could almost take it out because we're paying for it in the current fund.
I was told to present to you what it was going to cost to run the swim program. That's exactly what I did. There's also water at $3,500, which was paid for out of current expenses.
You're talking about the total sewer bill. Sewer bill?
No, water.
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 You fill your water up with a well.
What?
You fill your water up with a well.
Well, we had an issue. If you notice, there's also a well pump repair cost there of $6,500 this year. That's a worst-case scenario if we have to replace the well pump. Okay?
It's not working at all.
Last year, starting at the beginning of the year, the capability of the pump that we had in the park decreased to a point where it was only putting out 10% of the normal water capacity.
And that was due to the pump.
It's due to the pump. And if you remember, last year we had to delay the opening of the pump because we couldn't get the pool filled quickly enough. When I came in at the beginning of the year, the pump was only putting out about 35% of its normal capacity.
So why are we including $3,500 on the water bill if we get the pump fixed? That would cut the cost of the pump in half. I mean, if it's $3,500 for water and we're spending $6,500 for the pump, you take $3,500, get the pump fixed, and we add the water.
You still have other operations that you use water for. You use it for cleaning. You use it for the toilets. You use it for drinking. You use it for operation of the concession stand, cleaning the concession stand.
But is it going to be that much?
No.
Is it going to make that much of a difference?
If you take a look on the third page, it gives you an actual breakdown of what the monthly water costs were. So I came up with $3,500. You can see how the water increased from June, July to August when the pump essentially.
I understand that, but we have November and December. The bills are just as high as they are in May and June.
Good question. We'll find out when we turn it on this year. Remember, we had that conversation at the end of the year.
Yeah, we did. And then the water was turned off.
Right. We won't know if we have a leak until we turn it on.
So, that when I questioned the December bill, the water was shut off after that. So we don't know if there's a leak.
That's correct.
We had to winterize it.
Had to winterize it.
You don't want to check for a leak in the winter. Check for a leak in the spring. And I spoke with Andrew, and he's going to come out and help us to try and figure out if there's a leak or not.
That's not what I was told. That would be another discussion.
So, Gary.
Yes.
I'm having a little tough time here with some of the numbers on the operating expense side because, for example, you have electric, $6,493.
Correct.
But if you go to electric on one of the other pages, it says $4,093.
Okay, if you look at the electric expenses,
uh-huh.
You have the electric expenses there for the entire park.
Right.
The pool is $4,093. That is the filter house.
Okay.
Okay. You have the Bass House. There's another meter at the Bass House.
Separate meter.
Which is $4,827.
Okay.
The bathhouse takes care of the water for the toilets, for drinking,
right.
For the concession stand. I'm sorry, the electric for the concession stand for the building.
Right.
But it also takes care of the basketball lane.
Okay, but I still don't understand where you came up with the 6,400 number. So your 4,093 plus what gets you?
2,400 for the basketball.
So you were able to split the 2,400 out?
Right.
Okay.
What I did is I took half of the basketball.
Okay.
Because half of it was used for basketball and half of it was used for the swim program, the talking swim program.
So the other thing, your second page, it says swim team and the account, trust account balance, 11,920, but then it says on the first page, 9,520 for swim team. So what number is the accurate number as far as revenue?
That's the revenue. You have to realize that money within a T account is cumulative. So there's
okay.
money in the account.
Okay, so there was already an existing starting balance.
There was a couple thousand dollars in that.
Okay.
In that particular line on it.
So I ran some numbers, and basically, if you factor in the revenue minus the salary, minus the operating expenses, minus the Green Acres loan payment, we're looking at around a $66,000 a year loss.
Correct.
In the pool.
I'm looking at the difference between $65,000 and $112,000. I don't have the Green Acres information.
Well, I think the Green Acres loan was $348,000, and I think that's usually, what, a 3%?
$20,000 a year, I think.
I don't remember.
I factored around 19.
I don't remember the interest rate, but it's just under 20.
So 19,000 a year. So based on that, your number is around 66,000 in the red, just for the pool and the stand.
Now, however, if you go back, there is another source of revenue here. If you go back and look at the T account balance.
Right.
Right now in the T account balance, we have $5,584 in the concession stand account, $23,731 in the swim program, $11,920 in the swim team, $16,688 in swim lessons.
So
that's money that is currently in the T account prior to any money being generated in revenue for any of the swim program this year.
What do you anticipate the paint to cost for the pool?
Paint?
Paint.
Approximately $1,200.
Okay, so that would have to be added.
I want to say it was like, is it $55 or $75 per?
$55.67
yeah.
a can.
So that would have to be placed here as well, right?
25 gallons.
So if you take the 57.9, so let's say 58 and 66, you're only at around an $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 loss if you add the paint, right?
Correct.
I mean, if you were to take your balance, you're on the plus $60,000, let's
right.
say, and you're we're saying based on the numbers crunched that we're in the hole, you know, $66,000
mm-hmm.
every year. So it's almost like a canceled. You would be able to use this $58,000 to offset that $66,000. So the
okay.
pool.
What you're doing, okay, if you want to do this, it's the idea behind the fee account is to generate money that in the future is going to totally be able to pay for the programs.
Understood.
Okay? So you're going to slowly build money into that account. If you take the $57,000 out of the account, next year you're going to start the year with zero.
Right. Well, I mean,
which means at that point in time, and if we're going to run the swim program, then it's going to have to be totally funded. That additional $57,000 is going to have to be totally funded by taxpayer money.
Well, I mean,
so you have to decide.
Yeah, no,
especially
I mean,
you have to decide what you're looking at.
It's
well, right now, in our taxpayer budget, fund, we're offsetting the swim program and the pool by $50,000, right? That's the other
approximately.
Right. So we're already. Taxpayers' money, we're saying $50,000.
Right. And that's the whole point of this here. I guess the question is, you know, when I asked Gary at your request to come up with the actual cost for the pool, the question is, all right, this is what it costs for the pool. This is what we have left in trust. If we expend that trust and use all that, theoretically the program can move forward. It'll still be at a loss.
Right.
You then, in turn, want to reduce the current fund.
And then next year, though, you'd be in the same
We're having the same conversation in 12 months.
Right. Well, you wouldn't have any money to basically borrow from the trust and the taxpayer.
Yeah,
well, it's a matter of saving the taxpayer this year.
His trust balance would be zero.
Right, his trust balance would be zero, but we wouldn't have that in our budget this year.
Correct. We're looking at, if you do nothing, we're looking at a $66,000 in the red for the pool and span. So that's 2.5 cents, 2 cents.
I will say, you know, since we're talking, you know, about as far as being in the red and everything else, if you go to the last page, you'll see all the other fee-based sports, okay, have generated the elite basketball, field hockey, karate, men's basketball, soccer, softball, street hockey, and youth basketball have generated $28,000 in revenue, and last year we generated $20,000 in expenses.
Right, so they all
every other program except for swimming is paying for itself. Except for, if you go down below that, you have your non-fee-based programs, which is the 4th of July, Arts and Crafts, Easter Egg Hunt, Entertainment Park, Grand Illumination, and House Decorating Contest, which are not fee-generated, and they are paid for out of the current budget, because we do not generate any fees for those. They are free.
So in those,
and that's a total of $4,300.
Right, so if you minus that out, you're looking at around $3,600, $3,700 still on the plus side.
Right. Now, I'm here to defend my budget, you know. I look at it this way. You know, we're essentially asking for, to fund the entire recreation program, we're asking from the borough $88,000, which is a little over 2 cents.
No, you're looking at $135,000.
Where are you going to, I don't have that.
We're paying for salary and wages and other expenses. We're paying $85,646 for somebody's salary and $50,163.
What page?
Sheet
15B. Recreation.
I was
basing it out of here.
Remember, this is, again, introduced budget. Right now, that 85 is what Gary's referring to. The salaries are separate. The salaries are for part-time and or seasonal as needed.
I know, but
for
it's still totals $135,000 for taxpayers.
That's correct.
Yes.
That's correct.
That's based on last year's figures.
Yes.
But again, I'm being told I have to pay for it. So that's what I'm trying to do here with this. We're generating $60,000 in fee-based.
But didn't you say we took a 33% decrease in the pool membership last year?
Hands on the other side.
I don't know if it was a slight decrease.
Yeah, I don't know if it was.
It was a slight
decrease. There was increase in dailies.
Do we have anything else for Mr. Masonor?
Just one thing, Gary. Just going to reiterate. The water expenses, you know, are absolutely for the pool and the pool only. Not watering the grasses at the field at Lambert or anything like that.
You mean at Barra?
Or Barra Field.
Okay, I believe we only utilized the water at Barra Field last year, we utilized, we had a little bit of a warm spell. We utilized it for one day.
Okay, so
we
it's not
one
significant.
Day of water usage, and in our monthly water usage bill at Barra Field is, there's a meter bill at $2.32.
Yeah, it's enough, right. Whether you use it or not, you get billed.
Right. This, everything that I'm showing you right here, as far as the water is concerned, is for the borough park.
Okay.
Well, for what it's worth, we've never seen a detailed document like this. So, Gary, at the very least, is appreciated.
I have one more question. Mm-hmm. If the pool were to shut down, how much would we save, other than the $56,000?
66.
66. Would you have to buy chemicals for the pool?
No.
Well, chemicals represented last year, the chemicals for the pool represented $9,200.
Would you have to buy chemicals for the
pool? You would have to buy chemicals for
the pool. Would you have to run the filter this year?
Pardon?
Would you have to run the filter this year?
That's a good question. Right now, the pool's empty, right?
No.
No, the pool always has water in it. Okay, you're going to have to do something to control the pool. You're going to have to add chlorine, you're going to have to add algaecide, you're going to have to add, if you're not doing your normal pool additives, you're going to have to do something to prevent algae growth and to prevent insect growth. Okay. So you will have to add chemicals.
Is there a limit to how much water you need to have in the pool? I mean, right now it's pretty high. I mean, would you be able to lower it to like a couple of inches?
Lower it to the bottom step in the pool.
Right, because that would definitely determine
how much chemicals. If we take all the water out of the pool, there's springs underneath the pool, and if we leave it out for an extended period of time, the pressure underneath the pool can actually pop the pool right out.
The reason I ask is because if you have 4 feet of water versus 1 foot of water, it's a lot less chemicals, so that's important.
Mm-hmm. There will be some chemicals involved, I would think, for insect control and algae control, odor control. Ever had to put chemicals into a non-used pool before? I don't know what the process is.
Anything else for Mr. Masoner? Hearing none.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
That brings us to our municipal court, Jimmy Cortese.
Okay.
Our apologies for running over, Ms. Cortese.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there anything you would like to present to us?
Well, we're all obviously aware of, we don't know where we're going yet with the court. In all likelihood, it will go. So this may be an effort in futility, but we don't know. The only thing that I would like to bring to your attention is that Lisa and myself are both certified court administrators. We need to continue with our education. And until the day that we are no longer a borough employee, I feel that our education is benefiting the borough. And I would respectfully request that we be allowed to continue to be reimbursed for attending the meetings.
New classes, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. And what kind of classes?
Well, it's monthly meetings. It's monthly meetings of the Tri-County Court Administrators Association.
And do they give you CEUs?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And which we're required to collect. We need 45 CEUs for a 3-year period. Or
15
per year.
As an average.
Right.
If you get more or less in a year.
Right. If we receive more for the 3-year period, it's lost.
Right.
You know, in other words, whatever
we collect.
And you
could do 12 CEUs this year, 18 next year kind of thing.
Right. But I was told in the beginning of the year that because of our department will probably no longer be here, that the borough is not going to receive the benefit of our education, that we were told not to submit that.
So that is not in here?
No, it is in here. It is in my budget.
The education is the conference and meeting.
So I had budgeted for everything, but this year I was told, as of January 1st, not to submit any vouchers for attendance at the meeting. So I would request that we be able to be reimbursed for the meetings that we've gone to so far this year, and until, if we're terminated, up until that date.
Okay.
Here.
Council have any questions for Mrs. Cortese?
Well, like you say, I don't have a problem with that request.
I don't either.
I don't either.
I think that's if they put the money out.
I agree. Municipal court maintenance of equipment. Could you tell us what that entails?
Yes. We have a copier upstairs that we share with the tax assessor, which we pay $35 a month, but we pay half of that.
Okay.
So, okay.
35 is the total.
Right, which we've had that copier for many years. It's a lease rental. And that is the lowest price I've ever been able to find for a copier. And they've luckily been able to continue that for us.
Okay.
Even though it's no longer on state contract. The other one is we just purchased the Liberty Recorder, which is right up there on the dais. And the reason for the increase from the 286 to 500 is that the maintenance agreement for 1 year from Gramco, which is the only company in New Jersey that has that machine or services it, is a little over $800. So the municipal court share is $212. So that $800 whatever was divided by four departments to cover for that maintenance agreement.
So that's shared by the council, the planning board, the
Correct.
Board of adjustment, and the court.
Yes.
So
our share was $212.
So that $212, assuming everything goes through, that has to be reallocated amongst the three. Right?
Amongst the three, yes.
Okay, does anybody else have any questions for Mrs. Cortese?
Yeah, what's the contractual service on page 2, right at the top, municipal court contractual services?
The contractual services are for interpreters that should we have Spanish-speaking or, you know, foreign-speaking defendants who cannot understand what the proceedings are.
Or sign language.
Right, or sign language, someone for the deaf. We are required to have an interpreter here for them.
Okay, you have two line items for that.
Let me see.
So it's contractual services and other contractual services. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, the other contractual services, let me see what the first one is.
Well, what I'm saying is the contractual services there, that's $100. Last year we didn't budget anything, we didn't spend anything.
Jenny, you want my copy?
Oh, okay. Sorry, that was a new line item for $100. The administrative office of the courts had imposed a new mandate that if there are any witnesses to any any trial, that they should be paid their witness fee of $2. And it has to be paid by check from the municipality. And that's
who came up with that idea?
I don't know. I just do what I have to do.
Another unfunded statement. Eh?
Yeah, we're
it was
not
a
left.
Statement. Now, granted, I doubt very much if we're going to have to use that line item. I've never had, you know, anyone say it, but I can't just give a witness that appears in court $2 cash from my drawer. And it has to be paid by check.
Probably takes $10 to create the purchase order with
yes.
the check.
But unfortunately, I had to put it down on the budget. So that's where I came up with that one.
Send a strongly worded letter to somebody. But we're not doing it.
Well, that one's mandated. Sorry.
Who goes to jail if we don't pay it?
I don't know.
The office supplies for $900, is that something that's purchased up front in the beginning of the year based on the budget pass, or is it something that's
it's overall for the year.
It's
overall for the year. We have, when the state changed over to the computer system, we got new printers. The one printer that we uses a cartridge, it's $124.
For just the cartridge?
For one cartridge. However, it does last a little over a year. So instead of buying hundreds of little cartridges, it is well worth it.
Yeah.
The other one uses a longer ribbon. I honestly don't remember how much that one is.
That's fine.
But
I was more
longer.
Concerned not with the dollar amount, but whether it was everything was bought at the beginning of the season or so to speak.
No, it's overall time.
When it's needed, it's purchased.
Right.
Got it.
Right. I do try to, you know, I'm pretty stingy and you know, that I don't go up on big spending spree, so it's only when we need
right.
something absolutely necessary. Part of that that amount is sometimes forms. You know, I do have a printing line item. I think that one's for tickets, but throughout the forms we need, the DUI and driving while suspended, you know, they all add up. It's like $100 for 100 forms. So it goes pretty quickly.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Anything else for Ms. Cortez? Okay, hearing none.
Okay.
Mr. Masoner wishes to come back in for a couple of minutes. Mrs. Rose will delay you for a few minutes if you don't mind.
Thank you, Jenny.
Scott, is this going to be discussed in executive session next week?
Executive?
Yeah. Not this in particular.
I don't believe so.
I think it needs to be. I would like to have that put on the agenda for executive session, please.
Okay.
Which budget is that?
With not the budget, it's the
issues with the court.
Very quickly. Okay, yes, I meant to say this before I left. If you can make this decision as far as the swim program is concerned very, very quickly, okay, because we're in a time crunch right now. We have the entire swim team program, over 200 and some people have already paid. Most of them have already paid. We have to start our swim team sign-ups this Friday, okay? So, and we have to get the pool, start doing the work open pool. We haven't spent one cent on the pool this year, you know, because we've been holding back waiting on the decision as to whether or not it's going to be open. Everybody forgets that 3 weeks ago we had snow on the ground, so nobody was even thinking about the pool. And then over the last 3 weeks, all of a sudden it's all generated. But we have a lot of work to do in order to get the pool open for Memorial Day. We need a quick decision.
Okay. Well, let's get through our other two, and we'll bring it back into discussion. Mrs. Rose, welcome.
I don't know. I still put down my whopping two lines. But of course, you always send them like that, so I don't know what you're looking at.
You have a page that looks like this? A couple pages?
No.
This is just an updated copy of the one that you originally submitted.
Okay. I do have a copy of
I guess I've just a few questions on the spreadsheet that I guess you initially gave, the spreadsheet that you turned in. In other words, you part of your expenses are offset by non-borrow, fees, I guess, and then and then it's also offset by some state aid, and then there's a borrower portion of it.
Right, and primarily. I do have this little fact sheet that I'm trying to get around to making. If you look at it, the lion's share comes from the borough.
So off of that spreadsheet, then that's where I have some questions.
Okay, I have a copy of that.
Thank you, Tina. I think that opens up. Oh, you mean from the borough of Maine account?
Right.
But then why would Social Security be there? Why not?
All right.
So their utilities are paid separately?
Their utilities are tracked separately under the library budget. That's because the library budget statutorily is outside of the budget cap. So all of their expenses get charged to them.
So they're not, so on the budget for the utility section that we have on...
Correct, it's separate.
It's separate.
Yes.
So it's not...
That's correct.
Okay.
Did you say we're outside the cap?
Yeah.
I thought they put us back in.
You're outside the cap last year, you're outside the cap this year. We haven't been notified of any change.
That's good with me.
I mean, that doesn't change anything.
Doesn't give us any more money.
It doesn't change the financial situation of the library. It just says we don't have to include you as part of the cap.
Yeah, okay.
What is the audit that you pay $1,000 for?
It's my share of borough audit.
They're required to have an annual audit the same way we are. Since they're outside the cap, they're tracked separately. Mm-hmm. Our same auditor does it.
That's right. I remember that.
The same auditor does it. It's just that's their portion.
So his contract is actually
$27,000
or whatever?
No, same price. It's all inclusive. It's just where it's budgeted for.
Well, it's...
His contract was 25? Whatever it was. In that 25, it includes this. Now, when we get the bill at the end of the audit, $1,000 of that towards that 25 comes from Barbara Lana. And the reason that it's an additional line item, the full cost in the budget.
So the annual audit is $25,980. Actually $26,000.
No, it's 25. $1,000 of that 25 comes from Barbara.
24 of it comes from
us.
If it's in her budget and it's on.
Keep in mind, we know for a fact we are going to Trenton this year. For a waiver, in some way, shape, or form, have to go to Trenton to speak to the local finance board.
No, what she's trying to say is that $1,000 is in both places.
Correct. No, and I'm explaining that. That $1,000 is to account for above and beyond if Tom has to come down to Trenton with us. I shouldn't say if, when he has to come down to Trenton with us. And my CFO, municipal order, myself have to go to Trenton. That's above and beyond the scope of his service. And it says that in his proposal.
I know, but why don't we have a line item for that?
A line item for what?
Above his scope of services.
Well, it's all part of the audit. The auditor. I mean, we can create another line item for
part of the auditor. But you know what? Listen, when we start putting money here to pay this, but no wonder why we're in this mess.
It's all part of his audit. It's all part of the
so service. It's going to be in her budget, is what I'm saying.
No. Well, his audit's $25,000.
I get my own audit.
Right. Library gets the phone.
But I haven't submitted the bill for the payment yet because I'm not satisfied with what they've done.
The bottom line is part of the municipal audit services. Don't confuse just audit with audit services. Tom's services for 2010 are 25 and change. Anything above that gets billed out at the hourly rate that council approved on his proposal. We're accounting for an additional cost because he will be doing above and beyond work beyond his audit when he comes to Trenton with us once or twice. There's a fee for that.
And you're going to use $1,000 from...
No, their $1,000 is offsetting their portion of their audit. That has nothing to do with...
He bills us for the audit for $23,000, so we have $2,000 there for him taking trips for us. Right?
Yes. In essence.
So
He prepares two audits. He sends one bill. 24 comes from us, one comes from Barbara. Pay for his service.
That's what I'm saying. So then, forget it.
The bottom line is, the audit line item is increased by $1,000... The audit line item is increased to account for the overages we know he's going to have to do for us this year.
So, Rich, I have a quick question.
Sure.
We talked at the last budget meeting about pension benefits, Social Security being separated.
Yes.
In the budget, the only thing I see is the Social Security. So how would we know what the pension contribution and the benefit contribution?
It's 200, and I'm looking for that page now. It's $270,000 total cost to operate that library.
Right.
That includes the health benefits, Social Security, pension obligations, etc.
But all I see is $11,000 for Social Security.
Correct. But the health benefits aren't provided by the library.
So
they're provided by the borough.
Different.
They're under our health insurance line item.
So how do we know what that's costing?
Oh, I can pull it up very easily. You know, because I have a cost overall in health insurance cost for the borough.
Broken down by department.
Well, it's broken down by employee. You know, your insurance is based on the number of employees insured. Right. And, you know, the rates themselves are dictated by risk.
But does our rates go up if the number of employees insured?
Oh, no.
We would still keep the same number insured. They would just fund it themselves, is what we're saying.
Oh, that's correct.
Right. Okay,
correct.
Right.
Statutorily, the governing body only has to provide the library board with the one-third of a million cost, which in 2010 is 193.
$194,280.
$194,280. Theoretically, that's all you have to statutorily provide them. You can require the library board to fund the balance,
right,
if you choose.
I'm sorry, what was the amount statutorily
required?
$194,280. Let me ask you, Barbara, how would that impact the library if we only gave you the $194,280?
What
are your projections?
We would probably have to stop buying books and other materials because I don't know where else we could cut.
You're kind of in the same place we are.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the same place we are.
Yeah, true. I mean, I do. Let me see here. If you didn't care about state aid, we could probably do it for $194,280. If we reduced hours or if we just don't buy enough books. Because if you give me if I spend $194,000, I have to spend $19,400 on books. And at that rate, I would only be spending $10,000 on books. And that's including, that would be like $6,600 from borough funds, $3,700 from the library's checkbook, and $2,000 from state aid.
So you're saying 10% of your budget has to be spent on books?
Books or materials.
It has to be. That's the state mandate in order to get the state aid?
Right.
Okay.
So what would be the critical hours that you would need to stay open? Because if you don't reduce staff, you're still required to pay them 35 hours a week, right?
Right.
So they would still, it wouldn't make sense necessarily to cut back on hours because you'd still have to be there.
Yeah, we would still have to be there. And the patrons have been very understanding, but, you know, they don't like the thought that we would be there and the library would be closed.
Right. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
So, We try not to, I know utilities are an issue. On sunny days, we have the clear story, so we try not to turn on the lights. Not all the lights, I mean, some we have to have on, but we try to only use what we have to have. And Mr. Durier has been in this winter and set the thermostats so that we didn't get, you know, we tried to use less fuel for more impact.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know where else we could cut.
Right.
As long as we keep the same staff.
Right.
So the question that I have, if I could, $270,000 is what we spent last year, and that's including all the benefits.
Correct.
And for this year, I see that it's $217,000, I believe. Right,
204,000.
204. Okay.
No, that's just the amount in memory.
That's all you see.
That's all you see here.
I understand that. The 204,000 plus benefits.
Plus benefits.
Okay.
Plus any other statutory obligation, pension.
Right. Okay. So if you were to take the 204,000 and go to 195.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking? 20,000?
Correct.
But we...
Well, no.
20,000 plus, having them pay for the benefits. Out of that 204.
No. That's incorrect. Right. The 204 you see right now is the salary and benefits and the other expense cost raised in the current fund. Obviously, in a separate line item, there's pension, health,
right,
insurance, Social Security, etc. When all is said and done, it costs $270 to operate.
Right.
If you only gave them $195,000,
right,
they would be responsible for coming up with that other $75,000 to $80,000 to operate.
Right.
Now, that would mean, if that's what council's deciding, they have to come up with that money. They, in essence, have to pay the borough or reimburse the borough for health insurance pension expenses. We would still need to raise it and front it. They would have to reimburse us. statutorily, I need to pay for full-time employees' pension contributions. Statutorily, if they didn't choose for health insurance, I have to pay, you know, the borough has to pay for the health insurance.
And the basic effect on the library would be?
The library
would be just like they lost the $75,000.
Correct. The library board would need to decide how they would choose to operate. And if that changed, whether it be hours of operation, that's at their discretion. If it's a staffing issue, the board would have to contact me and I'd have to deal with the staffing issue.
Or a combination of both.
Or exactly.
Are any of your employees unionized?
Yes.
Yes, I'm the only one that isn't. Well,
the only one in the building.
Yes.
So,
Cindy and, yeah. And Twyla both are.
Has the library board looked at motion sensors for the lights at the stacks?
No, we haven't. Stack lights are a real issue because the library was so poorly designed in the first place for lighting. We have those huge lights up at the top, which do help. But then after they moved into the building and they got book stacks in there, they have other ones attached to the stacks themselves.
Right.
And
that's,
I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, mostly it would be the when someone would walk into the stack area, the lights would come on.
Yeah.
That way you wouldn't have to do those.
Where do you put the motion sensor on the stack?
One on each end or at any entrance to where the...
You know, that's on something that's movable, really, if you get right down to it. You're not really attaching your motion sensor to a stable object, right? Because your stacks could be removed and moved around if necessary.
Yeah.
You tie the motion sensor in, hang a motion sensor on the wall near the stack, and you tie it into the light.
But with the cost or setting something like that.
I think we'd be spending thousands to save pennies.
No, yeah, I mean, it's a long-term type of thing. You can't look at it as a one-year.
Ron might be interested in finding out about it.
Your regular lighting, I know it's silly, but, I mean, is it kind of bulbs versus are you using the CF compact fluorescents or are you using regular 120-watt bulbs?
No. It's fluorescent.
They're all the newer efficient fluorescent ones.
Yeah.
That's the question.
So, we may still have a few of the older ballasts, but when they die, we replace them with the more efficient.
Computers turned off at night?
Yeah.
Completely shut off, or are they?
No.
Hybrid?
The servers stay on.
Well, the server stays on, but I mean, the computers, the desktops, are they turned off, or are they in hybrid?
No, they're off.
Off.
Okay. I've been in the library different hours, and we usually keep a lot of the lights off. I noticed that.
Yeah.
Well, you sound like you run a very tight ship.
Well, it's traditional in library.
The library board itself has been very cooperative, you know, in trying to find ways to save a few dollars here and there.
Yeah.
You know, sitting on the board, I get to see that firsthand. Any other questions for Mrs. Rose?
So when do we have to make the decision? Right now?
I mean, that's council's choice. I mean, obviously, with any decision, the longer it takes to make the decision, the less financial benefits you receive.
Right.
I mean,
so do we do that now, similar to what we're doing with REC?
We could.
I mean, rather than wait until...
Go ahead.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, this is why we're here, right?
This is just a workshop. I mean, anything could be discussed. I mean, even last meeting, you made budget reductions.
Right.
We're still talking of having a question on the November ballot.
I'm sorry. Still moving forward.
And that would be for 2011.
Right.
Correct.
For whenever we can, as soon as we can get it done.
Barbara, can I just ask you, we're talking about that's all public knowledge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about a question on the November ballot for the voters to decide whether we should go with the county library system or keep the Washington Borough.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any discussion with the with the county as to would they take over the building, leave the library where it's at, or would you be combined into the...
Rich has had that conversation.
The county director is going to be here at the first meeting in May to present to council. I asked her just these questions to come with the answers for everyone. Of course, if anyone has any other questions before then, I can have them answered. I can't say what their desire to do is if this goes forward.
If they look at us closely, they will be very unhappy with our computer circulation system, and there will probably be a number of things that they will not be happy with, because what we have is what we can afford and it works. And this new person, I was just in a meeting with her Monday morning, and I was hoping for better things after the last director left, but they've gotten somebody that's she's sort of contemptuous of rural Warren County, and so I can already see some of the things that she would find fault with in our situation.
Could you explain some of that? Be more specific about it.
If I may, I think what she's referring to is just that the standard that the county library puts on itself may not be met with our current library system.
What happened to that, though?
Well, the standard, yes, but I think in her case, her ILS system choice is, if that's indicative of the way she does everything else, I'm very concerned.
That's why we invited everyone to come back on.
So if this passes, hypothetically, and we become library in the county, 2011, is the county responsible for bringing it up to whatever they consider their standard to be?
Mm-hmm.
There would be negotiations among you, and you would have to decide, because you still own the library building.
Right.
You own the contents of the building. You own the property.
Right.
And if she wants to move it out to the township, you would not have any choice. But you would still own everything that you own now.
Right. Well, that would be the question you would ask her.
So that would be part of the negotiations.
Right.
And you would also need to negotiate to keep the funds that we have in our designated funds that have been...
like a penalty account that they...
Like the McCampbell Grove Fund and a couple of these other funds that have been given to us would need to be protected.
Right.
Because otherwise they'll take them. A good model to look at is what they did up in Blairstown, because they had a very strong friends group, and they negotiated very well for their community. Personally, I live in White Township. I never use the county libraries.
What's that?
I have my own. Well, they don't. Warren County does not reach out to other libraries. The meeting that I was attending was in Sussex County. The Sussex County librarians reached out and said, we need some kind of an association, just an informal one, between Sussex and Warren County libraries. And we have, and that led to open borrowing, and it leads to in this case, we're all panicking, because it does sound like the governor is going to shut down. Basically, if you move the state library and Thomas Edison and the state museum under Rutgers, they're going to get lost. They're not going to have he's cutting their funding 74%. We have most of our services either come directly through state provision, or they come through the four regions. The four regions are 501c3s, but they're fully funded by the state. They will not have any funding. We will not have extra reference materials. We will not have our databases. We will not have our union catalog for interlibrary loan. We won't have our low-cost delivery system, and we won't have a lot of the benefits of the shared buying that have been going on.
If we go into the county system, is what you're saying?
No.
Oh.
This is if the governor gets his way.
Oh, yes.
And there is also a bill out there, I think it's $25.50 from DeMaio.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
It's 825555.
Just in the paper, too.
That was in the paper yesterday or today?
I mean, there's no way. The Hackettstown Library takes it as a direct hit at them. This is the third year in a row somebody has tried to get rid of a third of a mill, because they look and they say, oh, there's money we can't touch. And it affects, the paper said it affects the municipalities. It affects every public library, including the county system. And Sussex is already hurting. Warren County isn't admitting anything, because their services were so different in the first place. It's really going to be a disaster. It's going to be like going back to the 50s in a way. As a municipal library, if we don't have any other support, then we can request in a library loan directly from the Library of Congress, but we still have to pay for the postage to get it here.
If I may, does everyone understand the third of a mill reference that we're making?
That's the dedicated tax.
In essence, it's based on a percentage of the total equalized assessed values of the community.
Right.
Every $33 per $1,000 equates to what they're legally required to receive from the borough. And obviously, as assessments go down, that was it 197 last year?
198.
Would we be able to get a copy of the questions you submitted to the county director? You said you did submit her questions?
Most of them were the ones Janine asked. I sent her an email. I asked her if she can give me the answers the week prior to.
There was no more than what Councilman Gleba sent?
That's all I received.
Okay. Did you have any yourself?
Most of them were already sent already. No offense, but most of them were the same answer questions, I should say. Mm-hmm. I tacked the couple additional ones on, and she's going to be bringing them on the 4th. I mean, if anyone has any other questions, by all means, tell me, and I can get the answers prior.
The thing is, you would still have. The borough staff would be grandfathered into the county system, mm-hmm. but the taxpayers would be paying more for the library services.
So it would cost more for the taxpayers to go into the county system.
Yes, it would. They have always charged more than we did. Even when we were doing, you know, like 56 and a half hours a week and all that kind of stuff, we were still cheaper than the county library system.
When you say cheaper, the taxpayers would pay more. Is that based on what? Is that like out of our tax bill more, or is that like if
you will be taxed the special library tax from the county.
Right.
As a municipality with your own library, you don't get that tax.
Right.
Now. But you will get it.
Do you know what that tax is?
Hmm?
Do you know what that tax is? Is it like a per $100 of assessed value, or how does that work?
It's a third of a mill, except that it looks like my tax bill, it's sort of like 1% of my regular tax bill. So I don't know, but
she's going to bring that in.
To use that as a reference, when the township came, that was the first thing that they started talking about merging, was coming into us so they could save money on the county library tax. I think it was somewhere around, the township paid somewhere in the neighborhood of about $350,000 a year to the library tax.
I don't want to digress, but that's all we're talking about is the referendum issue, right?
Right.
It doesn't have anything to do with the budget.
True.
So I'm
a little
bit off.
Going back to Councilman Scioni's original question about the $194,000, what are we going to do? Or excuse me, the $70,000 or whatever it was for the added benefit. Are we going to take that out or keep it in, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think now's the time to make that decision, so if we decide one way or the other, the ball can get rolling.
Is that an all-or-nothing proposition, or do we split with the library if it was so desired by council?
Well, I think anything's possible.
Well,
right?
The bottom line is, statutorily, you need to write a check for $195.
Right.
Anything above that is at your discretion.
Now, what I would recommend, whatever your decision may be, you've got to be cognizant of the fact that we're almost 5 months into the year. This is a very difficult concept to all of a sudden throw on the library board that, oh, by the way, you owe us $70,000 by the end of the year. That's going to...
They don't have that much.
In essence, that's closing the doors in the library. I'm just being honest.
So you're saying we should fund the full amount?
You can do whatever you choose. I'm letting you know the pros and cons.
Yeah, but we
can't. Rations. The bottom line is, the only way to... Closing the library, say as an example, July 1st, will save you $135,000. Right? We're giving them the $195,000. They're going to have to come up with the rest. That's going to, between the current terms and conditions of the existing union contract, the current terms and conditions with civil service, it's going to require personnel changes. And even then, I don't know if you're going to reap, because there's only 3 full-time employees there, correct, and 1 part-time?
Yeah, it's just a janitress.
And that, exactly. And it's not really a library, you know. It's going to require absolute significant changes to that library operation. The bottom line is anything less than the 270 is going to require staffing changes, hour reductions, and or closures.
But how do we know what the definitive dollar amount is going to be in order, if it was enacted today, so that the library could stay open in some capacity and still function in some capacity rather than shut the doors completely?
Barbara, can you make up $75,000 in the next 8 months?
No. We don't have that in savings.
There's your answer.
There's no way to get it.
Well, what about, I mean, you talk about staffing reductions. You talk about hour reductions.
Again.
About not purchasing new books. I mean, what? I don't feel comfortable making decisions based on...
The departmental spending, please ask Barbara. I mean, if you think reduction in books or reduction in services, that's a library director and library board decision.
But also, 20 minutes ago, Barbara, you said you could make it work for $194,000. Not well.
Yeah, but that's because I never consider the health benefits and all that.
That's what
stuff.
I'm thinking. Why can't we just go back to that instead of the 204 here? Still have the benefits and the pension and all that. Just reduce the 204 down to the 194.
I mean,
somehow.
I mean, that's going to save $10,000. I mean, you're
well,
welcome.
I think
we can do that.
We haven't saved anything tonight. That's $10,000 a lot.
This is council's decision. You can give them the bare minimum right now, and they'll have to make up the difference of what that $10,000 would equate to.
Right.
And that's their choice, your choice rather, and Barbara and the library board will have to make their own internal adjustments to their budget accordingly. Now, that may be reducing services, reducing purchases. I mean, like any other department, if your budget's reduced, you adjust.
We would be down to, we would be like the Oxford Library.
You'd be what?
They're open for on Tuesdays and Thursdays, they're open for 5 hours. That's their whole week.
So if we cut $10,000 off your budget, you're going to be only open 2 days a week, 5 hours a day?
If you cut the $2,204 down to the $195, but leave my health benefits alone,
right,
then we can survive.
Okay.
It's the health benefits and all that stuff that I've never had the budget for. The audit has been in my budget since I got here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, you know, that doesn't bother me.
No, I was just thinking it was being counted twice.
Yeah. But in the state report, specifically the state aid request form, you say how much we paid from the regular budget, and then there's another form that specifies how much for the health benefits and all the other stuff. And even they consider that separately.
If we were to cut the $10,000, would you lose the state aid?
No, as long as I have the, you know.
As long as you have the $194.
Yeah.
But you would still have to spend the $1,900.
Oh, yeah, I guess I would.
Well, yeah, whenever you receive the state aid, you have to spend that percentage on that curriculum.
And they would have to make
but that.
They would have to offset that somewhere else.
Exactly. They'd have to make that.
I'd probably have to use all my state aid for books, which is perfectly legitimate. They're happy with that. Or, and it's not just books.
I'm sorry?
Does that need to be made in a motion? Can we make a motion here tonight?
action can be taken tonight. So.
Okay, I make a motion that we reduce the 204 down to the 1/3 mil and keep the benefits with the library.
Nice second.
All right, any other discussion on that? Let's do a roll call on that, please.
On the librarians.
Sure.
Higgins?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Ciani?
Yes.
Alba?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming down, Mrs. Burke.
Thank you very much. Good to know we'll still be there, at least until November.
Got another year.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to come do a really cool program on water for the summer reading program, I have a space available. It's going to be make a splash read. Maybe I should get with Gary.
That would be a good idea.
Sure. Yes, good idea.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the Shade Tree Commission. Mr. Rita. Ladies and gentlemen, my apologies for your for delaying you so. Okay.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Lou Starita, Shade Tree Commission.
Anything you'd like to tell the council, Mr. Starita, before we ask questions?
Fire away.
Okay. Does anybody have questions on the Shade Tree Commission budget?
I do, actually. You get, how much grant money do you usually get by being part of Tree City USA every year?
Tree City USA budget.
No, we get, we are eligible for certain grants.
Yes.
The last thing we got was for $25,000. And we said the 56th Street with that, which is more expensive. Because we can't just take, you had asked that question.
Yeah.
You know, we can't just take like a nursery leftover. They have to be certified street trees, and the caliber has to be at least two to three.
Right.
In order for them to be stable. So like, how do you test it with a car?
Right.
The $7,500 grant that we got, was that through you folks or was that through?
I was through Shade Tree.
But
I was it, that was the seven.
$7,000.
Right. Now that was, if I may, that was received after the intro.
Right.
And the other $8,000, wasn't it $8,000 that we saw the scanned document from that was signed, remember?
Oh, no, no, $8,000 what they applied for, they received $7,000.
Oh, okay.
It was $9,000.
Got it.
Correct.
So, is it pretty much a guarantee that you're going to get grant money every year?
We have an aggressive grant staff that's pursuing not only matching grants, but also individual and corporate grants.
Well, you're in design, but
Mr. Street,
money's kind of drying up.
It is getting tight, yeah.
Yeah, I got this letter today, Mr. Strick, if you'd like to take a look at it. I think that's something that deals with you folks, some information that the state didn't receive.
Didn't receive?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe that was for that grant, but I could be incorrect.
I believe this was sent out, right?
It might have just crossed in the mail.
Yeah, yeah, I believe it was recently sent out.
Okay. Well, if you would, just double check on that, make sure that it, the information has been submitted for them.
So can you tell me what comprises the $14,585 for contractual other contractual services?
That's this year is mostly tree maintenance. We had done Grand Street, the majority of Grand Avenue. And
this is last year's.
This is last year's. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever's on the
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Budget was 1634. Did Grand Avenue, Prospect, North Prospect, Shade Tree Federation membership dues, which was approximately $95. Publishing, for our meetings. Let's see, Paul Cowie Associates for our forestry plant. Multiple tree removals from Shade Tree, I'm sorry, Sunshine Tree. Payroll and seminars.
Yes.
Right.
In
so
addition
for,
to that.
For 2010, you have the $7,000 that you need for the tree maintenance in the park, right, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't we use that money to offset this $14,585 request?
No, grant money. It's a separate line.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you couldn't. It's a separate line.
This is just for the park, I believe.
Well, I see what you're saying that it could be taken out of here so that we don't have...
Because if you didn't get that grant, you were arguably going to have the same amount in your line item.
The thing is that we haven't done anything in the park in like 7 years because we never had the money.
Right.
Because we need all the money we get for... We have a very mature tree population.
Yep.
There's stuff falling off it all the time. You know, we have to respond to that all the time. We've been trying. We do have an inventory that we also got a grant just to do that. But we were calling records to try and get students. And this cost over $10,000 students do a tree inventory. So on our tree inventory, it tells us how many hazard trees we have. We try to keep up to date. How many holes we have. You know, the trees that have all the deadwood in them and so that's what the tree maintenance goes to.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes up all of our money. One of the things that took up our money last year, and what happened was because we got the money so late and we have to go get the estimates all the time because we're not using Peterson anymore, we ran out of time. And we actually left $588 in the budget, which was one of the foot in my throat. But,
Sue was very upset about that.
It was because we ran out of time, you know, to encumber that money, you know, because we couldn't get the quotes in time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we couldn't use the money. It was just that we ran out of the time, you know, because it had to be done.
So if a tree breaks in half, who cuts it? Who cuts it up and takes it away? Is it DBW or is it Shade
Tree? That's only an emergency basis.
All the money is done.
We're still billed for that.
So even if DPW goes and cuts up those branches and hauls them out?
It doesn't matter.
No, that's, if a tree comes down in a storm, DPW picks it up as part of their normal work.
Right.
Right.
Shade Tree, as part of this, does normal preventative maintenance.
Exactly.
Right.
No. If a tree falls down in a storm, it comes out of our budget.
Yes. Yes.
You know that.
It does.
Yes, you do, Patrick.
No,
we're talking to you.
You, Mr.
Higgins.
I don't
remember charging anything like that in 2009.
Maybe not last year.
Yeah.
Years before, prior years.
I mean,
prior years. Yes.
I mean, because as far as I was concerned, it's part of DPW's work responsibility. If a tree comes down, the ordinance.
Might have been the year before. No, but they called me in Grand Avenue and there was a tree that fell across the road.
Ooh.
And that came out of our budget.
That was quite a
strip,
wasn't it?
Why would that come out of their budget?
And
I don't remember that. I mean,
it does.
Because could you spend
for 10 years.
To do tree maintenance, like preventative maintenance, with this $15,000 basically equates to.
Here's the deal: we never do preventative maintenance anymore.
That's
what we do is respond to calls.
Reactive
because the trees are so bad. What we need to do in that 5-year program is to get and it's in our, you know, because we have to do that for the state.
Yes, it's part of our plan that has to be done in order to
we
maintain.
Want to start doing sections of the town, and we want to start fertilizing, because we now have all these new trees, you know, that we've planted. 5 years ago, we had 17,000 in a grant, and, you know, we just finished a $25,000 grant. So we've got 156 fairly new trees, not counting the ones downtown,
right,
that all are supposed to be trimmed and fertilized and, you know, as preventative maintenance.
So when you get a tree that goes down or a branch that goes down, do you have to have like a certified arborist or whatever to do the work? Or?
No, but most of them are too big for the DPW to take care of. You know, when there's a limb this big, it's huge.
Right.
And we've got trees with trunks like this.
I think the incident that you were talking about was on Grand and Carlton, wasn't it? Right on the corner there where it came down?
I think it was on Warren, yeah.
And
And it was hanging on a wire. Unfortunately, it wasn't one of the good wires that they come and take it away.
It was, and a tree company came in, and I think that's why you were built.
That's the only way we do tree maintenance.
Right. Yeah, yeah, but you had it, our DPW couldn't do it.
Right.
And that's why you folks were built, if right. I remember correctly.
Yes.
But I think that was before Rich started.
Yes. The 4th of July, when the trees came down, that wind came through just before the parade started, they were on our budget.
That was Grand Avenue. That was the tree that...
There were two of them that landed on a house, and there was another one down the road. That came down on our budget. And this year, what happened was, Grand Avenue was slated 2-3 years ago to be totally redone. I walked the place with the engineer at the time. We decided what trees were supposed to be taken down, and, you know, new sidewalks and everything was going to be put in. And you know what happened to that project.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all those trees were still sitting there for 2 or 3 years, you know, and people started screaming, you know, when are you going to take these down? So last year, most of our budget went to Grand Avenue. And Sunshine actually did it for a song.
You're really seeing about a great price on that, I remember.
13.4 just for that.
You're running at a zero basis.
Yeah.
You basically have your allocation every year, and you basically don't transfer anything over except the $500, like you said. But you rely heavily on grants, basically.
Yeah.
And we're going to be able to help you with that, I think.
Any other questions or comments for the Shade Tree Commission?
I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming, Commission. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that brings us back to the park. Ladies and gentlemen, what would you like to do with the pool?
We have a 5-minute break.
Great. If you would like to make a motion, sure.
So moved.
Okay, any discussion? We've got a 9 o'clock limit on our meeting, so we'll get back to going here. The next thing up for discussion is going back to parks and recreations with the pool. Our options, I guess, are to fund the pool, close the pool, or if you want, we can wait until till our meeting on Tuesday to discuss it then. And then if there's any other options somebody can think of, please say them now.
I would like to suggest that we wait till Tuesday, because I still want to get some more information on it. I am not comfortable closing the pool, but I also know what kind of situation we're in. And I'd just like to see if I can get some more information so I have more clarity on it.
What information are you looking for, Councilman?
I want to see if there's... okay, if you do leave it open, is there any way of increasing the usage of the pool, getting more people to use it, so it could actually start being more self-sufficient? You know, other communities have closed pools. What was the result of that? You know, I mean, if you close it, there's not going to... I know it's running in deficit now, but if you close it, you're still not getting any money. Is that going to make more of a deficit? And then next year, you're not going to be able to open it at all. These are my concerns. I don't feel comfortable making a decision tonight.
Well, I think the best person you would need to speak to is Gary.
Yeah, I'd like to actually...
Call me tomorrow. I'll give you his number.
Okay.
Or I can give it to you tonight, actually.
And I was wondering if an option would be to maybe, like, cut in half, like kind of like we did with the library, like the operating expenses and the current budget, just maybe, and then they only have to come up with, say, $23,000 out of their trust fund. You know, at least then it's less on the taxpayer's end, but it's not totally diminishing their trust fund. Could that be an option?
That $52,000 that they took in for the pool and the trust, was that everything that they took in, or did they use any of that trust to offset any of the costs last year?
I'd have to run the report last year. Trust rolls over from year to year. That's an ongoing balance. I'd actually have to run the report for 2009 to see what was used.
If we could have that for Tuesday, that would be... because if they took in 52 and they didn't use any of that last year...
Off the top of my head, I'd have to say no. But, I mean, I know they used some trust last year, but keep in mind when I started, everything was being the whole trust current thing was all a debacle with rec. So mostly everything last year was current.
Okay, so that was what they took in last year, the $52,000.
But we also paid ourselves back. That should have been spent in trust, and last year we paid ourselves back.
Yeah, if you could get the numbers.
So in essence, how much money was used from trust to fund the pool in 2009?
Yes. Okay. And how much they actually took in, the $52,000, was that the total that they took in, and how much was used to offset the cost?
So you would like to wait until Tuesday to make the decision?
I would.
Okay. Mr. Scalia?
Yeah, because I'd like to know if that's an option.
Okay, Mr. Boyle?
Yes, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. John, we know yours. Mr. Cioni?
I'm okay with Tuesday.
Mr. Housel?
I'd like to answer to a couple questions. We've kicked this around before. Swim team, the $9,520 revenue. Where is that coming from?
That's coming from the user fees, you know, the registration fees.
Okay, so all the user, all the people that are on the swim team are actually members of the pool?
No.
I don't think there's a correlation. I don't think you have to be a member of the pool. You don't have to have a pool membership to use that program.
Well, that's what we've kicked around before. I think that was implemented
many, many years ago, but for 1 year, I think. And then we just did it at the program fee for the swim team themselves.
Could we, for Tuesday night, get the number of hours that total that the pool is open, operational, and an estimate, because I know rainy days and all that, and the total number of hours that the swim team uses the pool?
Including practice.
Assuming no rain, if it's open 20 hours a week.
Practices, meets.
Total operational hours.
Pool. 09?
You talking just
Yeah, 09, if he has 02, 08,
pool.
I mean.
2009. Total number of hours used by swim team, swim lessons, or just
swim team?
Swim team.
That means practices, that means meets.
Got it.
Okay.
I'm just looking at the overall cost of the pool and the number of hours that the swim team uses the pool and see if it correlates.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly.
And also, I'd like to find out if when they're using the, when a swim team is using it for practices or meets, how does that impact the usage by people that are paid to use the pool? Is it
they close the pool?
There's
a few nights for a swim meet, but the practice is before the pool opens.
It's before the
pool. Yeah, there's never practice and public.
Yeah.
So well, that's what I mean, but when they're practicing, the pool could be open.
Correct.
So it's taking operational time away from the pool.
It's early in the morning. I mean, theoretically, yes.
They're practicing before the pool opens. The pool doesn't open like that.
That's what the swim lessons are given also.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't impact.
Theoretically, the answer is yes. I mean, you could be open at 8 a.m. Whether or not you're open at 8 a.m. and you're going to get a whole bunch of public
right,
area
right,
at
yeah.
the pool, I don't
okay. believe my kids do swim lessons. So it's like, I think it's what it is. The swim team practices, since they get finished, so swim lessons, and then there's a break, I think a little bit of time, and then the pool officially opens at like noon or something like
right.
that.
Right. Well, so it doesn't impact
about 8.
At all.
No, it does not impact
okay,
the public usage.
Well, upon occasion it does. If there's a meet that they have to start at 5 o'clock, you know, they will close the pool to the rest of the public.
But that does that really impact usage even at that opening of the
I mean, it doesn't happen so often.
Right. Yeah.
They close it at 5 is what happens. They don't open it. They close it at 5 p.m.
Right.
As opposed to 8 p.m.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other questions that the manager could look into for the pool for anybody? Hearing none, I would accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Well, the funny thing is, all of this is
and that's what I remember.
When it's
you
not
did
real.
Remember I said that I'm
doing the shared services part. Vic's got the other stuff. He's going to do a presentation. It's a Tuesday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Our own in-house
shared services and
before you get through this.